RPN is not responsible for the views, actions, statements, or opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be confused with medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show.
Just going to say, I just stepped outside from my little house right behind me here.
Good evening, everyone. And welcome back to a very special edition of Red Pill News Live. Thank you so much. C. Ziegra says, love you and have watched you since the early days. Thank you for all you do. And also on Badlands Media. I guess I had a hot mic. You guys heard a candid conversation pre-show with myself and the general. Obviously, he is on the road right now for his premiere. They're going to 34 different cities total. There may be more. But we're going to get the general's thoughts on how he thinks the premiere went. And then after our conversation is done, I have about an hour-long documentary I put together with footage from behind the scenes on the day of the opening premiere there in Venice, Florida. So I hope you guys enjoy it. I think it's pretty special myself, but maybe I'm a little biased. And I'm looking forward to getting some FaceTime with the general again. So do me a favor, guys, if you haven't yet, hit the like button. Help me out by sharing the show. Help us out by putting this out there on your favorite social media platform. And if you haven't yet, also click the link in the description of this video. Get yourself tickets to the show. If it's coming through your area, you can also pick up your copy of the DVD. Now, from what I understand, the first copies to go out are going to have a bit of special content that is going to be available for people who purchase it at a later date. We'll get some clarification from that from General Flynn, but sit back, relax, grab your popcorn, and we're going to be right back after this. Warnings of a recession are growing louder as we near sell in May and go away. Citibank warned, the soft landing dream is over. The U.S. economy is headed for a recession in the middle of 2024. Morgan Stanley warns a U.S. dollar regime shift could threaten stocks. And meanwhile, the Fed's most trusted recession indicator is flashing. Because every recession since 1945 has been preceded by a yield curve inversion. Meanwhile, the M2 money supply is meaningfully contracting for only the fifth time since 1870. All signs appear to point to a sizable downturn for the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ. Now, meanwhile, gold prices have been hitting all-time highs, and the rally is far from over. Now, y'all know silver is always late to the party, but once it finds momentum, it can easily outperform gold. So protect your retirement with gold or place a bullish bet on silver. Call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Just mention Red Pill 78 and this show, Red Pill News, and you're always going to get best-in-class service from Patriots Protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the no-fee for Life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you just might be eligible for that no fee for life IRA on qualifying rollovers. So give them a call today at 888-857-6092 and get your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Call them today at 888-857-6092. 857-6092. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us. Apparently, there must have been some software update on my settings here. I don't know what the heck's going on, but I am pleased to welcome General Michael Flynn to the show once again. General, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Jake. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
So great day.
You're clearly still on tour, and I was very, very pleased with the way that the premiere went. And, you know, I didn't get a chance to speak with you afterwards. Obviously, you're a very popular man. Everybody wanted to get a piece. And so I had a big drive ahead of me, and I didn't want to impose upon you. So if you will, I'd like to get your thoughts. I mean, how has the premiere so far been? And what was that like watching that film for the first time in the company of so many people?
Yeah, it's unsettling, to be honest with you, beforehand, right? I mean, you're very anxious. It's a very intimate, you know, it's a very intimate sort of insider's view of the Flynn family and the persecution that we went through. But also, as you saw, the discussion about military service and what that means, the ideas of endless wars, the deep state corruption that has existed for a long time. And then, of course, we take you through the journey of the persecution and all of these pieces that a lot of people had never heard of because the media never talks about that stuff. And so we try to put it all into that unbelievable movie. I was not certain how people were going to respond, but I was humbled by the way. And, you know, we had, I think, close to 900 people at the Venice premiere. And I was very, very humbled and I was very emotional about the way people responded. I mean, you know, there was multiple sort of ovations during the movie for parts of it. And then, of course, a standing O at the end. And that's when I knew that the story that we have told is really getting the message across that we want to get across to people, that my family and I want to get across to people. And it kind of comes out at the end there. If you remember the part where my sister Mary says, if the Flynn family can come together, the American people can come together.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big component. And for people that are listening, you know, there's a strong sentiment of faith in this. And I say in the movie, I found my faith through my family, because, you know, as people do, I mean, I think all of us now need to figure out, you know, what are you willing to fight for? You know, and I served our country. I like to think that I'm still serving, but I will fight for my family. And that's why I went overseas to fight our enemies, not because I hate them, but because I love my family. I love my country. And so anyway, if all the haters out there, all the bots, because there's always going to be those people and they're going to go, I'm not going to, you know, he's a grifter, whatever they're going to say, you know, all the crazies, go see the movie. And then come after me, then attack me, because now you'll begin to see what I experienced with an incredible level of persecution. And I don't want people to have to go through that, but all too often, too many people in our country face this persecution. I just happen to be this really high profile person because I was the national security advisor to a duly elected president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump. And the people, Jake, the people that went after me, they are the same people that are still going after President Trump. I mean, it's the same people. Nobody's been held accountable. One other thing before I forget, while I'm thinking about it, talking to you, yesterday on one of the major cable news networks, Andrew McCabe, who, if you remember, I do call him out in the movie, yesterday morning, On a major cable network, he says that he's basically apologizing for misinforming a FISA court about Carter Page to get a warrant. And in fact, the word that he used was regrettable. Mm-hmm. It's regrettable that we did this. And I'm thinking to myself, I saw the quote and I was like, you've got to be shitting me. Excuse my Irish, it's unbelievable. Regrettable. You know how many families, how many people you destroyed? Frankly, you hurt this country, by doing that, because from that, attack against Carter Page, what they did was they do the sort of the hop, skip and jump rule where they get after one person, then they can listen to another. They can listen to another. When I say in the film and when Trump says in the film that they were spying on our campaign, they were spying on our campaign based on a lie. And McCabe had the gall yesterday to say it was regrettable. Like, what? We're going to just roll over and forgive you, Andy? You know, so I just think that these people sit in these places, these high places, and they just feel so unaccountable. And, and maybe because, you know, they're in these positions of authority, you know, a talking head on a major network, former big shot of a large organization. You know, I mean, I ran one of the largest intel agencies in the world, and they tried to destroy my family. And what you'll find in the movie, then go to flynnmovie.com. You'll find in the movie that they actually strengthened my family. They made my family stronger. And I think, you know, you saw it. And I appreciate you being there. I appreciate you taking the time because we really didn't know each other. We don't know each other really all that. Right. I mean, we've met right through this world and, and, you know, so I appreciate you being there and others who went there to see it. You know, there was other media and there was other people that, they, you know, they were skeptical about Mike Flynn and, you know, they listened to the media and all the noise that they, that I've been described at. And as I talk about in the movie, about assassinations, you know, the new way to assassinate somebody is what I call assassination by narrative or a narrative assassination.
Yes.
And, you know, they clearly did that. They tried to do that to me. You know, they only wounded me though, you know, and Trump, I think, is standing strong for this country, but it's not just people being attacked. They are attacking our country. They're attacking every single American that believes in our country, that loves our country, that thinks, you know, that thinks our country is going off the rails and it is. Because of all kinds of different issues. And we've got to get this country back on the rails. And the way that we're going to do that is we're going to do it by standing our ground and speaking out. This movie is one of those efforts. You know, I hope it's a bigger effort than what I, you know, initially imagined. I mean, we've been through six cities now. So now Venice was the opening. Premiere, but I'm going around the nation for 35 cities to do what I call a live in-person premiere experience. So we talk to the, or we present the movie and then we stay there for an extra hour and talk to the audience. I've stayed at every single one of these venues till, you know, till the last person's out of there, you know, having conversations, taking photos and just interacting so people can actually touch me, right? And say, okay, you know, I see what happened. And they're not saying just, I'm sorry about what they did to you. They're emotional about what they've done to this country.
Yes.
And again, I'll repeat myself. They're also emotional about the fact that nobody's been held accountable.
Yes.
That's the thing. So anyway, I would say that I'm super, super appreciative and again, humbled because we are still number one of all DVDs being purchased on Amazon. Which is incredible. We're beating out the likes of Barbie and Aquaman and Willy Wonka too. You know, too much chocolate in the country, I guess. And Oppenheimer, you know, we're beating Oppenheimer. So that's 3 weeks in a row that's been the case. I learned today that the DVDs, they literally ran out of stock in there and they've restocked them you should have no problems. We also are able to order, a live streaming now. You can pre-order live streaming. There'll be about 7-day delay before you get that, but you can pre-order live streaming and you can do all that through flynnmovie.com. That's flynnmovie.com. On there, we started dropping testimonials from people. I mean, so we've been Venice, Florida, Winter Haven, Florida, which is up around the Orlando area. And we stopped, had a great night in Savannah, Georgia. Wonderful night, wonderful people. We then went up to Greer, South Carolina. You know, I mean, just a terrific, another group of about, I don't know, about 300 people or so. And then the night before last, we were in Nashville and we had some really terrific people at a place called Bagsby Ranch, Bagsby family, super nice people. Never met them before, but they opened up their home, which is like an old barn that they refurbished. It's wonderful. They had some great folks that showed up. Which I was, I'm in awe of because I'm a big fan, but like John Rich showed up, he sat through the movie and he did me a great favor and pushed out on social media what he saw and he was blown away. And then another guy who I never knew, I know who he is and I've listened to his music is Ricky Skaggs and his wife. And then, you know, so those were five places. And then last night we were at the mansion, a place called the mansion in Branson, Missouri. And anyway, Zach, I just appreciate everything that you're doing. I appreciate Zach, you being there and just taking the time and then Absolutely. Coming up like this and asking me to be part of this. So well, anyway, I'm gonna walk around while while we're interviewing because people
fine.
Probably think I'm living like a homeless man out in the woods.
So
we're actually traveling in an RV.
Yes, yes.
So, We're doing some maintenance today.
So a couple of quick thoughts. You know, first of all, Andrew McCabe looks like he's,
I'm listening.
Andrew McCabe looks like he's aged about 20 years since the last time he was on camera. I think his conscience is actually getting to him. But first and foremost, it's regrettable when you get into a fender bender. It's regrettable when you drop a glass in the kitchen. When you tear apart a nation in the way that he and his cronies did, it's criminal. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, America has been torn asunder, and I even see it in the conversation surrounding you and this film. You know, one thing that I think is so important, you know, the fact that you do allow so much time for people to, you know, get up and ask you questions and actually see you, it humanizes you. And this is one thing that was missing, and it allowed for them to create that narrative warfare to go after you. You know, people need to see you. They need to understand you're a normal guy. You were serving your country and you were dangerous, and they decided to go after you. And even once they took you out of the Trump administration, that narrative warfare has continued. And because you couldn't say anything for the longest time, people created this legend about you, good or bad. Yeah. And this has allowed people to see you, that you are just a normal guy, and you faced so much, and it's made you stronger.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things, you know, and I appreciate that, Zach. And I sorry for, you know, misstating your name at the beginning.
No, it's
okay. I got all kinds of things in my mind. But, you know, and in the movie, we talk about it. You know, my family talks about it. I think it's my brother Joe. You know, I'm one of nine brothers and sisters. That story's not out there. You know, we grew up in a tough Irish family. You know, my father was a retired sergeant, World War II Korea vet. I mean, we were, you know, my sister Barbara, I think, talks about, you know, or my sister Claire, maybe it was Claire, talked about, you know, growing up in a 1200 square foot home. My sister Mary, I love her laugh, and she talks about being in the bathroom, right? And having brothers, right? It's just amazing. So,
we lost the connection, I think, guys. Oh man. You're back.
No, you're back. I'm back. Yeah. No. I mean, we'll be our, and if I go out, I'll come right back. So
okay.
Don't worry, we'll, no workarounds. I mean, we're literally up. About McCabe, you know?
Yep.
I haven't seen him. I don't pay any attention to the guy other than if one of these days I think he does have to be held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
But I think life is holding him accountable.
Yeah.
Cause you're right. You said that he just, you know, he looks like he's younger than I am, you know, you know, he's very, he's like Comey, you know, they're very arrogant, you know,
yes,
in their ways. And, but yeah, you're right. And when I saw the clip and then somebody sent me a photo with the quote, and I was like, man, he's changed a lot. And I think that, you know, I think that life's catching up with him. And that's, you know, if you're a good person and you do things, you know, because like the golden rule, you take care of others, treat others like you like to be treated, then life can be okay. And I wish that was the way it was from our government, from people that work in our government, you know, the quote unquote elements of the deep state.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that, you know, I think that we're in one of these places right now in our country where, we want that. And for me, and my family, we grew up, you know, as kids, like I said it in the movie that, you know, what's changed? I've never changed. People didn't know me when I was playing Little League baseball. You know, I know, in fact, I have friends still that are still alive that, I used to play ball with all the time. And they still, some of them live in my hometown, you know, my old hometown. And I see them once in a while. And I stay in touch with them. And, you know, it's Flinny, right? That used to be, they'd be my nickname, and Flinny, right? So, you know, they laugh every time they see me. And when I was going through all my craziness, I'd talk to them off, you know, these are friends that stayed with me, right? Not the fair weather summertime soldier friends, right? Like Payne used to say, Thomas Paine, you know, they would call me up and just to bust my chops. They would see something in the media and they'd just call me up and go, hey, how you doing, Flinny? And they would just to call me up and they would, you know, it wouldn't call me to console me. They'd call me up to bust my chops, you know, cause they're like, what the hell, man? What's happening? And I would tell them, what's happening is our country is under attack, and you need to know that. And we are under attack. We're under we're in an era of information warfare,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, in addition to other things. So,
looks like we froze up again. Ah, well, let's see if he's able to come back. Let me take a look at the chat here. Ah, here we go. We're back.
I came and sat back. I'm going to keep, I'll keep fighting through.
Okay.
But what I was saying, Zach, was we're in an era of information warfare,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I've written a book about it along with Boone Cutler.
Yep.
You know, called Citizen's Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare, you know, and we've written about, we've sort of introduced the readers to fifth generation warfare. We've introduced readers to how to fight in this world of artificial intelligence, right? And I mm-hmm. talk about in the movie about Sun Tzu and deception and what war is. And we just came out with another in that series. And this one's the role of the church.
Mm.
And that one I think is going to be the most impactful. The first one, Intro to 5GW, was a bestseller. Mm. And we're self-publishing because publishing houses they don't touch me because I'm Flynn, right?
Right.
So everything that I'm doing these days is done by fighting, by standing up and working through and finding solutions. And that's been, you're not going to be judged by things that happen to you. Bad things will happen to everybody. And that's another component of why people are drawn to this story of what happened to me and frankly, the response to this movie. Because bad things happen to all of us. We all go through some tough time. That's not what you're going to be judged for. You're going to be judged for what you did about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if people, you know, if this movie can resonate with a lot of people and frankly, the response has been universally just outpouring of very positive responses. I mean, we started putting out testimonials. We haven't had anybody, you know, we ask them, I'm very direct. I'm very blunt, I want to know good, bad, and ugly, good, bad, and indifferent. And universally it's been, wow. I mean, everybody's got to see this. I was emotional. We have people coming up crying because it's emotional. It's a very emotional thing. And yeah. I you saw it. So I won't talk about some of the things that are very intimate, especially the whole issue about sort of why did I do what I did? Why did I plead guilty?
Yes.
People can go see that. And I think a lot of people understand it, but I think when you see it and you hear the story, I think it's that part is a really, really emotional part. And again, a lot of families go through this. I don't care whether you're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, whatever political stuff you are. I just think that, everybody goes through a tough time. It's, you know, and if the level that I went through is something that is, it's outrageous. I just listened to our most recent set of testimonials that they were just sent to me. I'll put them out here pretty soon. I put them out on some other social media, but I wanted to keep yours up as the top X post.
Appreciate it.
Because I want people to watch. I want people to come in to this live broadcast. But I just listened to one, you know, and it's a woman who's a former prosecutor and she's now running for a district attorney in a county near where I'm at right now. And, you know, and she says, you know, like former prosecutor and then a defense attorney. And now she's running for district attorney. First time in politics. You know, she got the message, get involved.
Good.
And her testimony is really, really powerful because she talks about what she saw at a local level, right? In a county, you know, as a prosecutor, right? Working for, and that's why she got out of being a prosecutor and she became a defense attorney. And now she's running for district attorney because she knows what the real deal is, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's somebody who they cannot hide from if she wins. And hopefully she wins because that's the kind of, rule of law leader that we need, especially at the local level, especially in district attorneys. So for the audience, this woman is running for district attorney in a county, just like what we see in Fulton County with Fannie Willis, right? And her boyfriend, right? So that's the level. That's what I'm talking about. That's where we need, you know, some really honest, authentic leaders who have the skill set and the knowledge to get in there and fight for the truth. And that's the name of the movie, right? Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. And it's still costing me a lot, you know. And again, you know, there's going to be I talk about it in the movie. I talk about, you know, entire organizations that are essentially organized to make sure that no matter what I do, to go after me. And they do it right on this platform that we're, well, not Zoom, but on the, we're going Rumble. Live. We're live on X and live on X and Rumble or whatever. So they, you know, these people, they go after you and, you know, and they're like, or there's others that are out there and they just don't know what to believe because like Trump, right? Orange man bad. The media, you know, he's a demon. He's the devil. You know, I mean, he's this, he's that. And they keep doing it. And so people begin to believe it. Mm-hmm. That's a component of fifth generation warfare. You know, when you look at what's happening in the world today, I mean, you don't get to be the director of Defense Intelligence Agency, which is really one of the largest intel agency in the world. It takes in all the components of the Department of Defense Intel, and the services. But, you know, and as national security advisor, because somebody sprinkled, you know, fairy dust on your head and, you know, and poof, you get those jobs. You know, you earn that through hard work, sacrifice, dedication, perseverance, you know, a disciplined life and being good to others, being able to work with as a member of a team. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then I get brutally attacked. Well, sort of there were a lot of targets around Trump that I certainly was the first real big target and they needed to get me out of there. They needed to get me out of there fast and they did. And masterful strategy. Go ahead, Zach.
Well, let me just ask you this. I mean, you mentioned fifth generation warfare. I mean, is it surreal to watch yourself become a target of that, or do you expect that? I mean, is that just par for the course based upon who you are and what you're trying to do?
Yeah, I don't want to say that I was naive, because I'm not necessarily naive, but I found the level of corruption vastly greater than what I originally thought.
Right.
I knew that, there's corruption, right? There's abuse, there's fraud, you know, there's fraud, waste, and abuse, right? We have, whole organizations inside of organizations to watch for fraud, waste, and abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So we always had that. And when it rears its ugly head, you know, you try to fix it, right? You correct it. But corruption is something different and it's more insidious. It's more undermining. It's more usurpation, right, of an organization and frankly of our country.
Mm-hmm.
And that, if there was an element of naivete that from my perspective, it was the depths of the corruption. The depth of corruption. And how far that corruption would go to undermine, you know, people in government, right? And now we're talking about the president of the United States of America. You know, now I'm talking specifically about what's happening right now to President Donald J. Trump. I mean, it should have never happened in 2016 and 2017, but it did. And now we know it, right? And now we know it. And there's no more maybe, probably. I mean, even though there's people still in the media and still in the intel community that are saying Russia, 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 mm-hmm. but we know it was Hillary, Hillary, Hillary and her campaign, right?
Yep.
And then in collusion, in coordination and probably in some level of conspiracy with the Obama administration. I call it out in the movie and specifically by date and who was in the meeting. And so when it started and now, so you take Russiagate and you go all the way through to where we are today. And it's like, talk about not, you know, what's changed. I mean, nothing's changed. They continue to go after, you know, and I'm still a target. I still get targeted, you know, constantly by now it's different ways by these organizations and these people that are out there in the world of social media, in the world of the media, you know, and I'm far from perfect. I say stupid things, you know, all the time. And so, all right. So if I say something stupid, I'll say, yeah, I was probably dumb and yep. But, you know, but I'm not going to sit there and sulk over it or wring my hands over it. We got to move forward. It's life. It's not what happened. It's what you do about it.
Yes.
And these people are still the same people that are still in government. Now they're still around, swirling around the Washington DC. They're still swirling around this whole mess because there is a fiber in certain types of people. And that fiber is a sort of an incorruptible fiber, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm a perfect person, but I find, you know, like in Trump was one of those guys I knew when I first met him that he loved America and he had the idea about what America could be and should be. That's what he wanted it to be, right? Cause the thing about Trump is everybody looks at him as something, you know, that he's not. Trump is a father. A grandfather. He loves his children. He loves people. He loves to be around people and he loves to fix things. He loves tough problems and he loves to solve those tough problems. And, you know, and he's got a component in him that's incorruptible. Now it doesn't mean that he doesn't know how to work the system and all that, especially but prior to coming into politics, you know, he had Democrats and Republicans, you know, coming to him, asking him for his favor, right? But then he decided to run for the White House and bang, wow. I mean, overnight. And Mike Flynn is right there with him as a guy who was a general in the army, you know, very successful, highly touted, blah, blah, blah. And like I say in the movie, and I'm a Democrat, right? I mean, and so we ride together and one thing after another, and they knew what I knew. They knew what I, especially about organizations. And then as I, you know, I'm going to tease the movie a little bit here, but as I started to ask for certain things, right? And I started to look underneath the rug. That's when they started to go, we have got to get him out of here. There's no way in the world that we can have Flynn in here. But they had to do it slick. They did it in a very slick way.
Yes, they did.
I'll leave that, for people to go and watch the movie because I do, it's helping me, you know? I mean, this tour, because people, you know, call you all kinds of names. I mean, you know, we're driving, we're going to touch probably 42, 43 states, 35 cities, 55 days, you know, and I got four vehicles, 12 people that are busting their rear ends and we're trying to give people a live, an in-person experience and show this movie. I wish that I had Hollywood behind me. I wish that, you know, maybe more people could watch it. But I think by people like you who took the time to go and watch it and see it, and I don't know, you know, if you recommend it, you say, yeah, you got to go see it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's a great film. I encourage everybody to make sure that you watch it. I share it every single time I'm live on the air. And I'm certain that this is a cathartic experience for you and that's going to be healing. Now, I want to ask you, you know, we were talking about holding people accountable and like why they had to get rid of you very, very early. Let me ask you this. Shortly before the election, and this was consequential in terms of, you know, my perception of you, in a positive way, you had tweeted out about the Wiener laptop and an article that Eric Prince had given an interview to Breitbart. And there wasn't really too many high profile people, certainly nobody that was going into the Trump administration that had the balls to mention that talked about that. Mm-hmm. Not only do you think that we will ever finally get some retribution from what was on that laptop? And do you think that that had anything additional to do with why they said, no, there's no way. We cannot allow Mike Flynn to enter government again, and certainly not for Donald Trump.
Absolutely. I mean, 100%. And I was involved in some, you know, privileged communications, I guess, you know, and talking about the things that the New York City Police Department found on that laptop and how they found them. How they found them is even more interesting. And how they found them is a technique that we sort of mastered many, you know, a few years prior to that on the battlefield to discover members of Al-Qaeda, senior members of Al-Qaeda were communicating with each other on laptops from cyber cafes and stuff like that. And when I heard that, I was like, oh my God, these guys, you know, these people, this is how they're using those techniques to be able to communicate. And it's nothing classified really. I mean, so the answer is yes. And it's not just him. I mean, we have the Hunter Biden laptop. Yeah. We have the Hillary Clinton emails scandal, which is still a scandal. And, you know, this documentary was about sort of what occurred with me, but nobody's done a documentary about people in the Trump administration. Maybe I will, you know, if I get through this one unscathed, you know, where people in the Trump administration that were running the CIA, that were running the State Department, that did nothing about the email debacle, basically the talk about corruption and criminal behavior, and those emails still exist because they belong to the people of this country. They belong to the United States government. They reside in some servers in the State Department and probably at the National Security Agency, probably at the CIA, and so all this information is knowable. Those are the things that I know. So what I just walked you through, Zach. Mm. And there's a lot more to it in terms of the details, the technical aspects of it, the knowledge of where to find it. You know, when people say, you know, Flynn knows where the bodies are buried, which I do talk about in the movie, right? Mm-hmm. So I touch on that. There's a deeper aspect. And so if Flynn is there, cause just like I'm talking to you right now and anybody that's met me, certainly the last couple of years, that's met me like this. You know, I'm the same guy. So, I mean, I do not kid around when it comes to our country. I love to kid around. We've joked around on this trip. We've had a blast, a lot of fun. And I like to be light. But when it comes to our country and the people that are trying to undermine it and getting away with, I mean, we the people, the American people are sick and tired.
Oh, yes.
Use the word retribution, you know. I mean, it's accountability. It's really about accountability. And if you're, you know, if we're holding people down at the, in some county or some place and we're holding them accountable for something and probably they didn't even do it, but the incentive for prosecutors is convictions. Mm-hmm. You know, we showed that one sort of slide during the documentary about the conviction rate in the Department of Justice. That's disgusting. It's disgusting. But they are incentivized by getting convictions and not by discovering the truth.
Absolutely.
And you know what? There's people all the way up to the high.
Looks like we froze again. We'll wait for General Flynn to come back here. While we're waiting on him to return, thank you to Hot Rodley, who says much love. Snowcat operator, thank you. I'll read that in a moment. And American Patriot 1776, thank you as well. Appreciate you guys. And then thank you also for the donations over there on Pilled. We will go through all of those in just a few minutes. But if you guys are not aware of General Flynn's message, there we go. Okay. Well, I was going to try to show you a copy of the message that I was talking about when I asked him about the tweets regarding the Wiener laptop. I will get one of those pulled up for you right now. And let me see. All right. I'm sure he'll be back in just a moment, but let me throw this image on screen for you. You guys can see what I'm talking about. And once you see it, you'll understand why he had to be removed, and maybe why people to this day are still working on behalf of the deep state to try to get Flynn as far away from government as possible. Take a look at that. You decide. NYPD blows whistle on new Hillary emails, money laundering, sex crimes with children, etc. And then he also retweeted this, hashtag spirit cooking, hashtag never Hillary, hashtag drain the swamp. All right. And there, of course, is the article. We've got General Flynn coming on back in.
Okay.
All right. We're back. We're back.
All right. The gerbils. I don't know how many, maybe there's a lot of people online, but what I was getting at was that accountability.
Yes.
And we have to have accountability. We cannot continue down this road. And that's why they don't want Donald Trump anywhere near the White House again.
Yes.
They don't. And they're going to try everything that they can. And we, you know, for all those people out there that, you know, that are, you know, they look at Trump and they go, I don't know. They whine about him, you know, stop whining. You know, 60% of something is better than 0% of nothing.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I'm a 100% guy, but I'm also blunt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they don't, you know, again, that's another sort of, you know, character trait, if you will, that they don't like, because I'm beyond the nonsense stage of my life. And going in as the national security advisor, they knew it, and they knew what I knew. And I have not been able to do that job, because I'm not there. Right.
Right.
And the guy that's in that current seat, as an example, Jake Sullivan, who's the current national security advisor, he was part of the problem.
He was.
I mean, he was part of this. And so, and anyway, we'll probably go in and out. Maybe, I don't know how many people,
well,
maybe there's a lot of people joining, but.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We've got about 2,500 people here on Rumble, and I mean, a couple thousand when we go to other platforms as well. Let me just, as a follow up on the Wiener laptop and the NYPD investigation, in the intervening time after that was announced, Hillary Clinton's sex crimes against children information came out and then went nowhere. There was
right.
something like 10 NYPD officers who very quickly, one right after the other, committed suicide. And
yep.
it seemed that there was a spate of them, and we'd always theorized that perhaps their deaths had something to do with that investigation. Do you have any information about that? Can you confirm that or deny it or send us in a different route?
Well, I think what I'll do is I'll just say that I really don't know.
Okay.
But I'm aware of all that.
Yeah.
I will say that what I am aware of is what they found, and
yes.
and then the process that was used to be able to you know, for Wiener to protect his own rear end, so to speak, you know, and because he's back out now, right?
Oh yeah.
Now if you look recently at what has been exposed, because I am involved in anti-child trafficking operations right now with
Good.
with my nonprofit, you know, America's Future. And we have a program called Project Defend and Protect Children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a red line for me. On the battlefield, you never state a red line because that gives away intent.
Yep.
But in my life, the red line for me is anybody that messes around with a child. Well,
mm-hmm.
now we're starting to see, and now that I'm involved in this, and this is something I do, I'm a researcher too. I'm an analyst and I dig. So, you know, we're starting to see the exposure of these networks of pedophiles, right?
Yes.
And it's not just some, you know, guy at the border, right? These are big time people, and we can see the Hollywood scene, and then all the others, and you know, Epstein Island, all this stuff. So this goes up way up, and the reason, to a degree, again, I talked about incorruptibility or corruptibility, and these people are corrupted, and they're corrupted by all kinds of ugly, disgusting behavior.
Yes.
And that behavior has to do with children.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sick.
Yes.
It's a sickness. And so to me, that's what we are starting to see. We're starting to expose that. And I think that there's people out there that are going to expose even more.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when one of these people gets, you know, wrapped up or that, you know, you try to get them, they abscond the country, right?
Yep.
And I haven't been, you know, P. Diddy's not at the top of my list to follow, but he'd be one of them, right?
Certainly.
I mean, where is he today, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
and others. So I just think that, like the movie and like my life, and I've said this many times, Zach, the truth always comes out. Sometimes it just takes a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's interesting about Andrew McCabe, right? Let's go back to him.
Yeah.
Why all of a sudden is he saying this? Like, these guys don't, these are very thoughtful. He didn't just get on CNN and just, you know, like on a whim said this. So there's a timing for these people. They're masters at, you know, like I say, about deception and strategy and making sure that they retain power. Because I said immediately, why did he say that now? And do they feel that they're unaccounted? They're not going to be accounted for. So does that mean they already have a plan to hold on to power? Right. And this is April. And we still have 230 days to get to November. So I'm going to analyze the crap out of that and think through all the various scenarios. And I'm going to watch him closely for any more things that he says, right?
Can I suggest something, General?
Yeah, please.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, I thought it was certainly curious, but at the same time, there was also the vote for the reauthorization of FISA that was going on at the same time. And so, you know, that's a very strange vote, and I really would like to get your thoughts on how that went. I mean, we had a large portion of Republicans and even a good portion of Democrats that voted against bringing that to the floor for reauthorization. So if they don't do something, then on the 19th, FISA is going to expire. Doesn't mean that FISA is going to just go away. I mean, I'm pretty certain that they're going to figure out a way to bring it back. But, you know, I'm of the opinion that there needs to be a major overhaul to FISA so that it will not be used against American citizens. And I don't know much about what FISA has done to protect Americans in the past. We've still had a couple of major terror attacks, big shootings, et cetera. But they seem to be very successful at using it against, you know, people like Carter Page and then people around Donald Trump. So what do you think the ultimate plan might be for them with FISA? And why are we seeing Democrats and Republicans aligned on this issue?
Well, because it's government spying in a free society. We're in our constitutional republic. You know, that's not supposed to happen.
Correct. Yeah.
And so, but, you know, I'm not certain it's going to fail. I mean, Speaker Johnson, let's see where he goes, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he's, like you said, maybe he and Trump are talking right now and we'll see. We'll see what happens. But it's an unnecessary, there was a time frame for it, but the control mechanisms around it, you know, were completely corrupted, you know, and we have seen that, right? We have seen through investigations by government, investigators who are legitimate, you know, the Department of Justice IG, I think even the National Intelligence IG also did an investigation and they found all kinds of problems. I mean, I'm not talking about like mistakes. I'm talking about serious
abuse.
criminal abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not regrettable, Andy. It's disgusting and it's criminal. And it what it does is it destroys people's lives. So if it goes away, you know, we did a lot of things before we had it, right?
Right.
And frankly, since we had it, and you just made a couple of great points about since we've had it, there's been all kinds of attacks. We've had a lot of attacks, and maybe we've thwarted here and there, but if the FBI and the intel community are looking up, you know, looking for more J6 grandmothers.
Right.
You know, this is not what it's for. This is for, to go after the most dangerous enemies that we have that are here to destroy parts of this country, that are here to put fear into the society of every American. That's what terrorism does. And a president of the United States has a responsibility for the safety and security of all Americans. Anytime a president wants to do that, he can give the authority to, he can delegate some of that authority down to lower levels. He can delegate it to the attorney general. He can delegate it to the director of the CIA. He can delegate it to the director of DIA or NSA, the secretary of defense, whatever. President of the United States can do that. Mm-hmm. You don't need a FISA court. That court, I think it came out of, the Nixon, resignation, right? And the committee, I forget the name of the committee, just laws. I think it's church or whatever, but they came out of that committee. So the FISA court was created back then. So it's always existed. Maybe what if you were going to have a place where you're supposed to go get a warrant, which is in front of a judge, right? An unbiased judge, then, you know, maybe we ought to make the signatories, you know, we ought to create a set of criteria that is much more stringent.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see the thing go away. I want to see it go away.
Yeah.
Like I want to see some of these organizations go away. But if it doesn't, If it doesn't go away, then there better be incredible levels of restrictions placed on that really, really tightly controlled criteria that is triple checked, quadruple checked before it even goes to the judge. And then the judges have a responsibility. The judges can't go, okay, Jim Comey or Jim Clapper. Okay, Jim Comey. Okay, it's coming from Jim, so I'll just sign off on it.
Right.
Those judges signed off on things that were lies.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the impact on the judge? Does the judge have any accountability? What the judges ought to do is they ought to bring those people back in. And if they're lawyers, cause like some of these FBI agents, senior guys are lawyers, you know, you give them you throw at least an ethics charge at them.
Mm-hmm.
Judges have a lot of authority to do things. And I want our judiciary to be a trusted component of our government, of our branches of government. I want I want judges to be trusted. And there's a large segment of American population that don't even trust judges anymore.
Absolutely.
That's very, very dangerous in our country, because trust, truth, honesty, the rule of law, those are the things, among other things, but those are the components that make us different from any other nation on this planet. And we have to have those. And we need the leaders. We need strong, courageous, determined, disciplined leaders in these organizations to make sure that this stuff gets fixed. Otherwise, you know, you get a former acting director of the FBI and a guy named Andy McCabe to sit there on a major cable news network, who he's probably getting paid by, I'm certain he's getting paid by.
I'm pretty sure.
And he says, yeah, and he says, you know, he regrets it. I mean, I that's just like, that hurt me. Actually, that emotionally and intellectually hurt me, because I was like, oh my God, this son of a bitch did this to my family and many other families and this country, and they tried to destroy those of us that had to go through this, at the same time trying to destroy this country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what he did, and that's what he'll be held accountable for. And if Andy McCabe is starting to feel his oats because he's all of a sudden having guilt pangs, then let's come clean, Andy. The American people are very forgiving. I'm a very forgiving guy, but come clean, because with that cleansing, we can discover other things that you might have been involved in, and other things that you did, other things that you supported, other maybe, you know, people that you supported, other operations that you supported, because we cannot go to the November 2024 election and go through this again.
We cannot
go through this again.
Yeah, I would imagine there's quite a bit that Andy McCabe could unburden himself of. But, you know, I'm almost of the opinion that the thing he truly regrets is losing his retirement, losing his position. You know, I mean, he basically got thrown to the curb, as he should have. And I sincerely hope. Well, first of all, I think it's naive for any of us to believe that the U.S. government doesn't have the ability to listen to whomever they want at any point, at any time, especially overseas. Like, they've already got that power. So I don't think that we need FISA at all. But the way that FISA could be useful, I think, is obviously there's a paper trail. I mean, like, we can follow that through. We know who all of the deep state players were that went after you, that tried to destroy Trump, everybody in his orbit. We know who the judges are. We know who they've listened to, who they have blackmail material on. So it really should not be that difficult it's a big job, but it should be easy to identify those people who are essentially keeping this ship float in terms of its corruption. Who is controlling things from behind the scenes? And I think a lot of people believe that the deep state is kind of this nebulous group that encompasses all levels of the federal bureaucracy and even lower. I think a lot of people look at the CIA and they think, you know, this truly is all about the CIA, you know, this country has been captured since, you know, probably the moment they shot Kennedy. Ever since then, it was like the, you know, a couple of years of big assassinations. And then after that, they've basically just controlled everything. You know, you look at somebody like Peter Strzok, okay? He's at the FBI, but oh, guess what? He also happens to be working for the CIA. You know, he grew up in Iran. I mean, I think he's probably coming from a family of intel agents. And my question here is, do you think that the culture that exists within an agency like the CIA, which seems to have its tentacles in every other agency, they own the journalists, they own politicians, they own, because they've got actual former CIA agents like Alyssa Slotkin in office. They have people placed in all of these other federal agencies. Do you think that the culture is such that it can be rehabilitated? Or do you think that it's simply something that's too sick to continue on in its current incarnation?
Yeah, I mean, Andrew Breitbart, and I'll probably screw up the quote, but you know, he's the one that said that politics is downstream from culture, I believe, is the way he stated it, you know, roughly. Inside of the vice president's office during Trump, there was his chief of staff. This is all public. It's on record. People can go look it up, back in that time frame in the early days. Inside the vice president's office was a individual who was married to another government, a government employee. And that government employee was the Russian analyst. So the person's inside the vice president of the United States office, that's Pence, married to an individual who's working at the FBI, who is working directly for Peter Strzok and was the Russian analyst for Peter Strzok. For the Office of Counter Espionage in the FBI. So that kind of a governmental.
It's a proximity.
Deep state. that kind of a connection. You can't write a novel about that kind of stuff, right? I mean, that's the kind of fiction that you hear about, but it was real. And guess what they all do inside of, the Washington swirl? All these marriages. They never take on, it is rare when they take on the name, like, you know, I married to a woman, she takes on my last name, right? My wife, Lori. In Washington, D.C., that ain't the case. And why? It's because they don't want you to know who they're married to, where their other half is. And this is part of the dirty, this is the dirty little secret of Washington, D.C. So to answer your specific question, culture matters the most in any organization. If the organization is an indisciplined culture and you're in the military, you've got to change that culture immediately because you got to be prepared to fight and win, right? In government, the culture of each organization is different. There's the Army has a different culture than the Marines. The FBI has a different culture than the CIA, et cetera. But the culture right now in our government, and it has been like this for a while and it has gotten worse, it's a culture of rot and decay.
Absolutely.
And so I don't think that some of these organizations can be, it runs so deep that I don't think it's fixable. And I think that they just need to go.
I agree.
And I'm in the Vivek Ramaswamy camp on some of the statements that he's made. And I'm with him on that. And I've gotten to know him recently. And I think he's a terrific, brilliant young man. And I do think that it's more than just reform, Zach. It's like, it's eliminating that capability. And because we really don't need it anymore because it's completely turned on the American people.
Yes.
So let's just get rid of it. Thank most of the people in there for their service to country, right? Not all of them. Just thank the ones, you know, cause there's a lot of secretaries and there's a lot of people that work in these buildings and you close those buildings down and you tell them, you know, here's a 30-day stipend. Thank you for your service to country. The doors are going to be locked on Monday. Leave your badge at your desk and go out to America and find a job. When they go out and somebody says, and they apply for a job, somebody goes, well, where'd you work? You know, are they going to be ashamed to say, well, I worked at the FBI in Washington, D.C. And you know, now let them have that feeling of of that guilt feeling of pang when somebody says to you, well, we can't publish your book. Why? Why can't you publish my book? It's a great book. You know, well, because you work for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because you're part of the mega cult.
Yep.
Right. I mean, come on. So I do think that we're going to have to, in our government, that kind of reform is going to have to occur. My thing, and people always ask me, and always ask the question. So if you were going to go back into government, what would be, you know, you're going to reform anything? What would be the first thing? And they think I will say, well, the FBI. Actually, for me, it's not that. It's the Department of Education. I would shut down the Department of Education because the Department of Education sets the tone for culture in our children.
Certainly.
All the way down to a kindergartner going to a public school, right? So anyway, we've had a great conversation.
Absolutely.
I appreciate your having me on. I so deeply appreciate you being at that movie the other night.
Yes.
We're on our live in person premiere experience, and we head to Wichita, Kansas, then we go to Oklahoma City, and then Oklahoma City to Glendale, Arizona, Santa Barbara, California, I think Yuba City maybe. I forget the exact place up there in Northern California, then Washington, we got two Bow and Spokane. And then points east. Then we start
Excellent.
Moving back east. So go to FlynnMovie.com. You know, you can order a DVD now. You can order the live streaming now. The live streaming will come in about, if you pre-order it, comes in about another week. And just help us out here. You know, help the country out by watching this movie and then taking the message from this movie and telling other people. And yeah, I mean, is this a financial thing? Yeah. I mean, I'm out here trying to repay myself for years of abuse. You look at my career, my background, and, you know, all these other, you know, quote unquote former buddies of mine that are getting paid, you know, $1 million a year to sit on a defense board, to come to four meetings, to keep their mouths shut. You know, $1 million a year. Okay. That's the kind of, you know, I'm living a modest life. I'm driving around in an RV. I'm deployed again. You know, my family, I have one of my sons with me. You know, I mean, but I feel like this is what I have to do. I just feel like I got to do this. One is just, it's to deliver the truth out there about what happened to me, because the more I look at what's happening to Donald Trump, I'm like, I'm not a guy that gets, you know, that gets scared, I talked about in the movie about fear. I think that I can control my fear to a degree, although, you know, there's times. But I think the country right now is in such an uncertain period of time, and people just don't even know. They don't know even what's going on. They don't know which end is up. And every time you look, you're like, holy crap, these people, they're doubling, tripling down on Trump. And we can't have that. We can't have that. We're in a different place right now, sort of third worldish. And I think, you know, the movie helps. The movie helps get them, you know, it helps solve some problems. It helps connect some dots, on a lot of levels. And, anyway.
No, I agree. I absolutely
agree.
And thank you so much for taking the time out in the midst of this busy schedule to come back here.
Yeah.
It really does mean a lot to me. And, you know, as much as you appreciated me being there, I appreciated getting the invitation. It was an incredible experience. And like I said earlier, I put together like an hour long documentary about the behind the scenes stuff. And we went to the deep state wall and then footage along with some interviews of people there. So I sent it over to Ivan, and I don't know if you're going to have time to watch it, but maybe you can throw it on.
Oh, no,
while
I'm
going to
watch
bus.
It. Oh,
okay.
No, I'm going to be watching it. Believe me. Okay. He mentioned it to me.
Okay.
What'd you think about the wall?
Oh, yeah, it's incredible. I mean, I spent a significant portion, you know, with just Mike Jr. and then Ivan going through and talking about it. I don't know if you saw the first interview that Ivan and I did a couple of years ago at Mike Lindell's Moment of Truth, but I mean, we talked for like 2 hours about this, and I've been following this for a very long time. I've been reporting on it for a very long time, and Ivan obviously was in government, so he saw it happen. You lived it. And to see it visualized in front of you, I mean, it's multiple rooms, floor to ceiling, with all of the players, all of the dates, all of the times, and just to see it all laid out like that, it's an awe-inspiring experience, and it really gives a better appreciation for what you went through, for what your entire family went through. You know, because it's not, you know, people out here, they see a news story here, a news story there. You know, I don't know how much they really think about it, but I understand the level of persecution that you went through and that you're still going through. And it makes so much sense to me that the same deep state players that would try to destroy you first thing, make sure you don't come in and hold people accountable. Why would they stop? They're going to continue on with what they're doing. Exactly. They're just going to change their tactics. You know, there's a level of operational security they got to be wary of out here. You know, I mean, how do you get to somebody who's no longer in government? Well, you know, social media. You go after and you pay people to talk badly about him and make up stories. And I commend you, sir, on the efforts that you're still engaging in to try to save America. Because the easy thing would be to pack up your bags, go home, and say nothing. Okay. And I think about this with Trump too a lot.
That's
I'm still here. I don't know if you can still hear me, but
I just lost.
Oh, hello. Hello. Can you hear me? General Flynn. All right. So it looks like that might be it. Hopefully he comes back in. But let me see. So I'm just going to go ahead and go through some of these thank yous while we're waiting for that connection to reestablish. Snowcat operator said, I just ordered the Flynn DVD on Salem Now. I'm hoping to make the premiere in Indiana. Thank you for joining us on RPN this afternoon, General. So yes, thank you so much. American Patriot 1776 says, thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything you've done for our country, General Flynn. I stand shoulder to shoulder with you, sir. God bless you. All right. Well, that is probably it. I'm sure that General Flynn was going to be taken off in a moment anyways, so that will probably be it. Let me go through the rest of these thank yous over here. Thank you to Jim Kyle. He says, should the three-letter agencies have a complete overhaul? I didn't see that question, but obviously we got to it. I'm glad he's on the same page. I think that many of those agencies need to just be sliced and diced. Let's just take care of it, get rid of them, and we'll put something new in their place. Thank you to Gum Gum, who says they want us all in a double bind. You cancel FISA, they attack us and call it terrorists. If you keep FISA, they covertly sabotage us for the next couple of years. Possibly, maybe, but I think I saw somebody say that they actually did it today. Yes, number one Indiana dad says House passes revised FISA. Let me go ahead and pull this up. Thank you, number one Indiana dad. Appreciate you, brother. I'm not too surprised. I was waiting for something like this to happen. Let me see. Let me change my view here. And we'll get this pulled up. See what happened. I'm assuming that's what President Trump and Mike Johnson were holding that press conference about. And I'll probably have to catch that later today. All right. Here we go. Without warrant required. An amendment inserted to insert a warrant requirement to the surveillance power was defeated in a rare tied vote. So why did they pass it this time? And the feds, CIA, they must, General Flynn's calling, actually. Hold on just a second. General Flynn?
Yeah, this is me, man. Yeah. We got locked up there. I just want to say thank you.
No problem. I figured that was it. Well, listen, thank you to you as well. And, again, thank you for taking the time, and everybody in the audience is very appreciative of you as well. I look forward to the next time I can have you back on the show.
Yeah, let's try to do it again next week.
All right. I'm down. We'll make it happen.
Yeah, seriously. All right. I'll let Melissa know on my end. All right. Thanks, buddy.
Okay.
See ya.
Yeah, we'll see you. Bye bye. He's a great guy. Okay, and let me actually get this pulled up on screen so you guys can see it. Okay, yeah, House passes revised FISA. Great. So the bill passed by the House does not include, actually, let me change to reader view so it looks a little bit nicer on the eyes. Which does not include a warrant requirement advocated for by conservatives and progressives alike after a push to include this as an amendment was defeated in a rare tie vote. The bill passed by a vote of 273 to 147. It marks a win for Speaker Johnson. Andy Biggs had added an amendment that would have forced intelligence agencies to get a warrant to surveil Americans' data. It defeated on a tie vote of 212 to 212 in which Mr. Johnson, who often doesn't vote, provided the crucial support to kill the amendment. Wow. The amendment was also opposed by President Joe Biden, who said a warrant requirement would rebuild a wall around and thus block our access to spying on American citizens. No, already lawfully collected information in possession of the U.S. government. Okay. Well, tell you what, guys, let's go ahead and watch the documentary that I made about the premiere of the event. And then we'll come back on the other side, and then I'll probably talk about this later. Let me see. Also, thank you to Dick, who says nothing can stop what is coming. Where we go, one, we go all. God bless you, Zach and General Flynn. Thank you very much. And then over here on Pilled, thank you to Sean Joe for a couple of cookies, Esther for the can, Ryder for the cookie, D. Dalid for the shades, J2 Dank for the shades, InfoWars via InfoBear for the can. Thank you. Empress, thanks for the cookie. Thank you to Sean Joe for the can and Anandoc for two cookies. InfoWars via InfoBear says, your free speech was not free. It was bought with the lives, blood, and sacrifice of patriots. Absolutely, 100%. Omazon says, thank you, General. Sean Joe says, Zach, can you ask General Flynn if he said, look at the beautiful black sky during an FBI interview? Oh, God, that's a really good one. I completely will ask him that next week when we have him back on. Thank you to 123SKG for the cookie and Sean Joe for the can. Mighty Patriot for the phone, Sean Joe for the can. This Thirst for Knowledge says, tell the general I really enjoyed meeting him Tuesday night. He's a true hero. Yes, I will, Thirst for Knowledge. Let me just add that to the list over here. Thank you to D. Dalid and FilterDog1 who says, cool, General Flynn. Judy the Lady Pug, thanks for the cookie. Trump Red Pill says, ask Flynn when the last time he surfed. I will ask him that. He's probably not going to be surfing anytime soon just because he's on the interior of the country. Empress says, I watched Trump Johnson presser, no big deal. Did not address the FISA fiasco. Wow, I can't believe that. Then FilterDog said, love to see you stoked by a good interview. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, I was stoked for sure. All right, you guys, sit back, and here is the documentary that I made about my time at the premiere, the world premiere of the Flynn movie. I hope you enjoy it. I'll be right here, and we'll see you in the chat. Oh, no, that's not it. Hold on. There we go.
So I was on a special duty assignment that someday I'll talk about, but I got pulled from that to go to the Ukraine crisis team.
Friday, April 5th, 2024. That was the world premiere of the new documentary about General Flynn called Flynn the Movie. And what you just heard was a bit of backstage audio. This is Ivan Raiklin. You've probably seen him on my channel. And if you don't know, my name is Zach Payne. I'm the host of Red Pill News here on Red Pill 78. And I was very honored to be the personal guest of the Flynn family and the producers of this documentary. So this behind the scenes footage takes you to a couple of areas that you get a quick look at in the film. However, you have to see it in its totality to truly understand what it is this film is actually about. And what I'm talking about is a room inside of a warehouse that's operated by the Flynn family that's come to be known as the Deep State Wall. So what is the Deep State Wall? Well, basically, it is an exhaustive timeline, an entire room from floor to ceiling, every single wall plastered with the plot to destroy General Flynn. It's a timeline, dates, notes, message boards, pictures, most importantly, It is the players themselves, the actual people who made up this nebulous plot by the deep state to remove General Flynn from President Trump's first administration. It doesn't just start with the moment that he is appointed as National Security Advisor. It goes back much further to General Flynn's time in government during the Obama administration. And what really struck me when you see this in its totality is the size and the scope of the effort, the amount of time, money, manpower, all of it that was dedicated to one thing. And that was taking out General Flynn. Now, of course, along with that came the plot to destroy Donald Trump and also to neuter him in his first administration to make sure that either he or General Flynn or any of the people working for President Trump would be unable to fully expose and take the mask off of this deep state plot. So what is that plot? Well, it's nothing short than the absolute total control of the United States and its money and its war machine. You see, General Flynn, it's often said, knows where the bodies are buried, because General Flynn had access to certain things that the average government employee wouldn't have. And as National Security Advisor, he would have had access to even more than he did when he was in government previously. So General Flynn represented an existential threat. He, in that position, would have had the power to not only unmask, to expose, and to stop this deep state plot to control and utterly destroy America. Now, it was a striking thing to be there, surrounded by all of these notes, all of these pictures, and even more so, to see Ivan, along with Michael Flynn Jr., go through a couple of key points in this timeline. It's nearly impossible to do a full breakdown of everything that you see on this wall, in this room, unless you have 40 hours or more. I mean, truthfully, if they wanted to spend the time exclusively on this, they could have produced a documentary that was a full season's worth of one-hour programs. But that's not the direction they went. They went with a much more personal story. And that was striking too. You know, as a follower, as a reporter on all of these things over the last several years, the one thing that I always wanted to have input on was the experience of General Flynn himself. And this documentary truly gives that to us in a way that you haven't seen in interviews that he's done, either on my channel or other people's channels. And the thing that really made this a special moment for me was the knowledge that I had anything to do with the research that went into the creation of this wall. I was honored to be a guest. I was honored to have backstage access to areas that most people attending the premiere wouldn't have access to. And to be given the opportunity to put this footage together so that you could get a feel for what I experienced and what the people who attended this world premiere got to experience as well. Now, General Flynn and his family, their entire organization, they are taking this film on, I believe, a 34-city tour all around the country. So if you haven't seen the film in this environment, I would recommend heading on over to the link in the description of the video. Take a look, see if it's coming through your city. I believe that a general admission seat is $35, and of course they have VIP tickets so that you can get some one-on-one time with General Flynn. But it truly is an experience to behold. I want to say that another thing that really occurred to me when I was taking a look at this wall, when I was poring over all of the vast research and the hours that it must have taken to put it together, not only the breadth of this plot, but the continuing nature of this plot. You see, just because they got President Trump and General Flynn separated, just because they successfully took General Flynn to court and got him to spend millions of dollars defending himself, just because they got President Trump to finally be forced to offer him a pardon. It doesn't mean that this plot to destroy General Flynn ended. It just means that it evolved. And even today, it's one of the saddest things that I can imagine. Witnessing this very particular brand of fifth generation warfare play out on social media, play out in the public square. You know, because before it was elements of the federal government that were working to destroy General Flynn. Well, now they've evolved it into elements of the general public. And the people who are participating in this continued plot to destroy General Flynn, they may unwittingly be the pawns of the deep state itself, or possible they might know all about it. And they're more than happy to collect the spoils of war and to do whatever they need for themselves and to further the cause of destroying America and a good man, a man of integrity. Someone who, in my opinion, deserves our utmost respect. Someone who chose to stand up against this criminal apparatus that controlled Washington, D.C., that in the face of ultimate adversity, chose not to stand down. I really hope that you get a chance to see this film. If you can't see it in person, you can also buy a DVD copy. I believe those started shipping today, April 9th, as I record this. But in the meantime, if you don't get a chance to watch the film, if you don't get a chance to come to one of the premieres, then I hope you at the very least enjoy this exclusive backstage access, along with a couple of select interviews with some real people who attended the premiere. And I sincerely hope you enjoy it. I also want to give a very special shout out, a thank you to my good friend Key West Jess, who without her, this footage would not have happened. Thank you, Jess, so much for your help.
Yeah, so they match a speaker with whoever is asking them to connect them, right?
And so that particular event, it was Russia Television's 10th anniversary. It was like a gala, kind of celebratory event. Now the media made it out to be like we friggin' were going over there to celebrate Russia. But my father actually used it as an opportunity to go talk about, I think it's like some plane had just been shot down like over Turkey or something. I don't know if it was a Russian plane or something that happened that, you know, he wanted to go there and talk about, but he also used it as an opportunity to talk about, you know, Russia, you know, United States relations. And like that whole story got left out of that, you know, that particular picture. That particular picture right there, I mean, because I think he's maybe smiling a little bit, so it's like, oh, they're having a great time at dinner. I mean, I'm must
mind that. My question is, who's taking the picture?
Well, all I know is that there was a ton of media in the room that night. And I'm sitting in the very back of that room. I'm at the same table with Jesse the Body Ventura, his son, his son's wife. I'm actually sitting next to Max Blumenthal, who's a...
Because you're over here, right? At the table?
No, I'm kind of like in the very back, yeah.
And then Jill Stein is there.
Oh, yeah.
Another presidential candidate.
Yeah. I mean, for a piece of propaganda that, you know, it's actually a really good piece of propaganda. I mean,
I remember you told me this a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So you guys sit down.
Mm-hmm.
And no one expected Putin to be there, right?
No. So I was initially told that like the president, you know, was going to be there, but I'm thinking that it's like the president of RT, because it's, you know, it's Russia Television's 10th anniversary. Right. And next thing you know, everybody stands up and like there's like just a line of friggin', I don't know what you call them, like the Secret Service and whatever you call it, Russian Secret Service. And next thing you know, little old Putin just comes walking. I mean, he's like this.
Lily Putin.
He's like this tall. But the presence he demands, man, it's crazy. He gets there, he goes and sits at that table. He's probably at that table for maybe 15, 20 minutes before he gets up on stage, gives his little, you know, speech about Russian television, and then he walks off stage and he's out. He was probably there for, less than an hour. But again, the United States media, I mean, really.
So if he's sitting there for 15 minutes, how much interaction is going on between those two other than
the only thing that I remember General Flynn saying was that, you know, Putin's English is actually a lot better than it's made out to be. Like, he actually can speak pretty good English. So, which is why, like, the Tucker interview, you know, and I guess I kind of get why, you know, they had to do, you know, use the earpieces and everything like that, but Putin can speak pretty good English.
But he probably wants to get, you know, precise. So
yeah, but it's not, but again, it's like, there was things going on stage that, like, you can see in that picture that they're both looking up on stage, so it's not like they're sitting there, you know, coordinating, you know, an attack on the United States. Again, I say that glibly because that's what the global media, you know, when this kind of came out, when that picture started surfacing everywhere, that's what they would make you believe. They would make you believe that, like, there was some coordination, like, oh yeah, we hung out with Putin afterward. I mean, the stories that came from that picture alone were just unbelievable. And not to mention, you know, it was never brought up that, like, we had to do a debrief afterwards. I was part of the debrief. I remember, you know, the names of the agents that I sat down at the table with, you know, to talk about, like, hey, well, this is what we did, this is where we went. Here's my USB drive. Here's every picture that I took. I mean, you know what being debriefed is.
Totally above board, transparent.
Yeah. And none of that. None of that was ever
mentioned publicly. Yeah.
The only thing that came out of that trip was literally that picture. So I point that picture out because, man, out of all this stuff on the wall right here, that's one of the more significant things that, like,
that they still play.
Yeah,
play to this day.
Yeah, I mean, if General Flynn posts anything, or if any of our family posts anything, that picture is, like, you know, by the trolls or whatever out there, they will always throw that picture back. Oh yeah, aren't you the guy that, you know, that's best friends with Putin? It's like, no.
Enter stage left, the Republicans that are also trying to take down General Flynn.
Yeah.
In my assessment.
Yeah.
So who are they? Because think about, this is the way I look at it. We got something to draw on, huh? We'll just do this. So at the center you have Trump, who's now the nominee.
Yeah.
And you ask yourself, who are the people around him that he trusts the most? What's the first layer? His family, right?
Yep, family, for sure.
So Don Jr., Eric, Ivanka, right?
Yep.
So those individuals.
Them, yep.
But then beyond that, professionally, who else? Obviously, like Dan Scavino, people that have been with him for decades, right?
Yeah.
From a business standpoint, yep. Professionally. But on the political side, at this moment, your dad is the first person of any consequence within the entire government structure that went all in to support him. So that probably, from my perspective, means that he's probably the most trusted guy. That's problematic for the DNC and the RNC.
Yeah.
Well, who's leading the RNC? You got the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
They want to have access to the presidency if he ends up securing a victory. Ryan Priebus is the head of the RNC. The longest standing Speaker of the House in the country of any state legislative body is Robin Voss.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the relationship between these three?
You're up together, college.
They went to Whitewater College. Well, I should say, his chief of staff, Paul Ryan's. Ryan's Priebus and Robin Voss all went to college together. And not only that, they were college roommates. Ooh. I wonder what conversations were had there.
Yeah.
So, if I'm the RNC, like, if I put my... their hat on, or my hat, whatever you want to call it, from their thinking, I want access to be able to control and influence the next 4-year agenda for the entire country, be able to influence the $6+ trillion budget annually from the Speaker of the House position through the presidency. I kind of want to have access to the presidency, which they never had, because 65-70% of the Republican base and establishment was anti-Trump.
Yeah.
Because we had 17, 18 candidates, right? Trump maximally in the best states that he had to secure the nomination was about 35% back then.
Yeah.
And so 65% represent this wing of the party.
Yeah.
And so they have influence and
tons of influence.
A lot of influence.
Yeah.
I'm guessing if we were to pull their text messages and phone conversation, it probably sounded something like this. Donald, if you want us to support you for your presidential bid in the general election, you got to take Mike Pence. If not, that happens.
Yeah. I can see that scenario. Yeah.
What stops them from doing that? Seriously. When you're the Speaker of the House, Chair of the RNC, the head of the RGA, Republican Governors Association.
Well, that's, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
At this approximate time. 10 years, 12 years he served in the House with Paul Ryan from 2001 to 2013. 10 of those 12 years he was on the Judiciary Committee. He was voted in at the same time Bush and Cheney were voted in and was on the Judiciary Committee that created the Department of Homeland Security. Those are facts and you can create your assumptions from there.
Yeah.
Which I do.
Yeah.
So then these four individuals, I argue, are doing everything in their power to pave the way to remove that inner circle to be able to get an influence. And the biggest threat is this guy right here, General Flynn.
Yeah, and you know who else?
Because he was, from the RNC's perspective, he's twice Democrat appointed.
Yeah.
Can't trust the dude.
Yeah.
He is, and then from the Democrats' perspective, he just basically spoke truth to power and threw us under the bus. So your dad has no political base of support.
Yeah, you know who helped undermine that effort too was Kathy McFarland, his
deputy national security advisor.
Yeah. I mean, know that, you know, via text messages that came out, from FBI, FBI interviews.
That came out like late.
Yeah,
late.
Very late, very late. Yeah.
So, and the DNC had zero leverage over either one.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the RNC and the DNC, or the GOP and the Democrat Party, have 99.9% control of the levers of power in all of our institutions, and then a person or two people come in that basically say, all right, we're taking market share, buddy.
Yeah.
Like all of it. You think they're just gonna sit and do nothing?
No.
Well, this is what they did.
Yeah.
Should we continue?
Yeah, just keep hitting.
So let's see here.
Different points here. I mean,
before we continue, like, how did this come about?
How did this wall come about?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is your brainchild, brother.
So, where's that? Is Ashton here?
No, Ashton's not here right now. She was here earlier. All
right, so for the viewing audience, this came, there's a guy right behind that camera right there.
Yeah.
Known as Zach Payne.
Yeah. Hey, Zach.
Red Pill 78.
Yeah.
So, I retire in August of 22, later on in the wall. And about that time that I'm retiring in August of 2022, I am attending the Mike Lindell Moment of Truth Summit, I think it's called.
Let's remember me, but I remembered him. And so he wasn't certain whether or not he could trust me. Didn't know how knowledgeable I was about the situation. He didn't know that I had been following it daily for years at that point.
I later find out you're an OG on this.
So Ivan and I sit down for an interview and 15 minutes turns into, what, 2 hours?
And then we're both like, we gotta go to the bathroom.
Of the Moment of Truth Summit here in beautiful St. Louis, Missouri. Is it St. Louis or is it Springfield?
Springfield. Missouri.
It's my first time.
Yeah. And so apparently that became the genesis of this in some fashion.
So that interview, we recorded it. It's probably at like 85,000 views at this point, which for Rumble, that's a pretty big video, right?
Yeah.
For me, that was the biggest platform that I've been on because you have a big channel, Red Pill 78. You're at like 190,000 subscribers or followers, whatever they're called there. And so I do that and I get a phone call from a guy named Vic Miller. And he's like, Ivan, I just watched your Red Pill 78 interview. I'm trying to do a documentary movie about General Flynn.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who are you? Because I don't trust anybody, right?
Yeah.
After seeing this happening to your dad, like living and being on the inside, knowing, like, I don't trust anybody. When people ask me, what's your relationship with General Flynn? I'm like, I don't know. You're going to have to ask him.
Yeah.
Like, I know nothing. So I call Ann Vandersteel.
Okay.
I text her. You know this guy, Vic? He says, like, he knows you. And so she gives me a thumbs up. Mm-hmm. I text your uncle, Joe.
Yep.
I'm like, who's this guy, Vic? He's like, no, he's a good dude. And then I text your dad, who's this guy, Vic? He's like, no, he's a good dude.
Yeah.
And so I call him back. I'm like, what's going on? How can I help? Yeah. And he's like, you need to come down and basically we're going to pick your brain and we're going to just diary of the mouth.
Yeah, we want the deep dive, not the 2 hour superficial masterclass. We want the 40 hour version.
Yeah. Once you got going, it was like, nonstop printing stuff out and putting stuff on.
And I'm on the phone with Ashton and Melissa, just nonstop. Hey, what about this? What about this? I'm like, oh, that's going to be 2 hours. Hold up. Let me rearrange my calendar so I can go into that rabbit hole. So this right here, if I were to go into each one of the, literally, I think each one of these sections is easily 1 to 2 hours discussion.
Yeah. Which is why the decision to, it was a very difficult decision to, you know, when it came to making this documentary that everybody's going to see tonight for the first time. It was a tough decision to kind of turn this into like just a 2 hour. I mean, I wanted to do like a three of, you know, some mini series. Cause I mean,
I know.
I mean, you could do one documentary on just 2017 alone.
Cause most of America has no clue. Well,
what happened? So, I mean, we'll see what happens after, after the response that we get. I mean, the people that have seen the documentary so far have been like, oh, it's just really powerful. Like it's emotional. And
it's
I just,
fury.
Yeah, it's, well, yeah, that too. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I could do, you know, just a documentary on what happened to me in 2017, you know, just in 2017. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe I'll do that because it's that story. Is a pretty crazy story in and of itself. I don't know. I mean, there's just so much to what happened. I mean, nobody even really talks about what happened, you know, between 2017 and 2020. But you know, there's a lot of that to me was probably from the family standpoint, like just the waiting game of like waiting for the next legal document or legal filing to drop. You know, not knowing. You know, when there was going to be any resolution to the case, it was like, oh, I'll get another 3 months to figure out, you know, what the Mueller team's going to do and what our lawyers are going to file. And it's just this back.
Hold on. Can I tee that up real quick?
Yeah.
So he's vetted to be vice president, mm-hmm. along with Chris Christie, Mike Pence, and Newt Gingrich.
Yep.
General Flynn, that is. So down to those four. So of those four, the only one that's a non-establishment dude is General Flynn. So I suspect that when you look at the communications going on in that July timeframe, when Pence was foisted onto Trump to be his VP pick, mm-hmm. so that the RNC would play ball and try to get Trump elected, now that they have their guy to basically be the handler of Trump, those are my words. You see, that things that are just now coming out. John Brennan, the director of the CIA, is communicating with his chief of station in London, Gina Haspel.
Yep.
Gina Haspel, who later becomes the CIA director for Trump term one, to cover up this, in my assessment. You see those requests being sent out to London station, to Australia, to the Five Eyes, right? Mm-hmm. For them to go ahead and use their tools to spy on Americans that are affiliated with the Trump campaign starting in July, now that he's the nominee. So who do they go after? They try to find somebody that has international connections. Who has international connections? A guy by the name of Carter Page.
Yeah.
What does he do? He has oil and gas like consulting gigs with Russia. But then he comes back and actually does what you talked about. You do the full above board debrief with our own institutions so that you're not considered a traitor. You're actually doing it on behalf of the United States and our national security interests. But what happened instead? You have Kevin Kleinsmith up here somewhere? Kevin Kleinsmith, an attorney at the FBI, reaches out to, as part of this crossfire hurricane, operation, and asks, hey, does Carter Page report back to the CIA? And he sends his contact at the CIA. The CIA contact responds with yes. He, after his Russia trips, he comes back and is debriefed. That lawyer at the FBI changes yes to a no. And that no, meaning, is used as part of the assessment that Brian Auten, the supervisory intelligence analyst on this Operation Crossfire Hurricane,
uses for his assessment to give the operations lead of Crossfire Hurricane Joe Pientka III information to include in what's called a Woods file to present it to the FISA court.
Where is it? I saw it somewhere up here.
The FISA court. There you go. Presents that false email manipulated change to then convince the FISA court to grant a FISA warrant to spy on Carter Page so that they can go ahead and listen in on every single communication. Exactly, I'm getting to that. Every single communication that Carter Page had, every single person that Carter Page's contacts had, meaning if I'm Carter Page and I'm communicating with you people here, meaning the rest of the campaign, senior people, I can also listen in on every single person you guys are communicating with. General Flynn, Donald Trump, Roger Stone, Paul Manafort, who was the chairman of the campaign initially, and so on and so forth. And where is this information going to now that the illegal spying is occurring? Who's the FBI director at the time?
Comey.
And who is he briefing? All of these guys. And that's why you have 39 unmaskings. Because they're trying to conjure up something to remove their biggest threat that knows where the bodies are buried. Who buried them? Get it? But then from the RNC's perspective, or the GOP folks, why is that a threat? What do you think? Because the Uniparty launders money through wars, right?
Yeah.
And they're both voting on this stuff. And so when somebody has the ability to expose it, you have to stop them. And from a credible perspective. So then you have to remove them. The way you remove them is 4 days into the presidency, moving on to 2017, you send Peter Strzok. And Joseph Pientka III, who's still at the FBI field office as the number three guy, San Francisco field office of the FBI, still there.
Never been interviewed. I hope as far
the as supervisory intel analyst, he's been interviewed by Senate Judiciary Committee of 2020. They didn't release it until after 2021, after the illegal election certification. Okay. But no one talks about it. It's like, you gotta dig. So the two people that were sent by Comey and his deputy director, McCabe, were Peter Strzok, Joe Pientka, the senior ops guy across for Hurricane, in order to get him to lie, get General Flynn to lie, or to get him fired. Who wrote that note? The deputy assistant director for counterintelligence of the FBI. That guy's name is Bill Priestap. Okay? So, Peter Strzok and Joe Pientka never produced the original 302, which is supposed to be produced within 5 days according to the FBI standards. So it should have been written by January 29th of 2017. It wasn't. Where is it? Why? Never been released. This is why I think. These two were told to manipulate it so that it made it look, they would sign it and say that Flynn was lying so they can get him out. But the second guy, Joe Pientka III, that's, I don't think he's up here.
Yeah, right down there.
Cause, yeah, there's his face. I dug deep into this guy. He's a coward, but I think he played it completely legal, everything. Mm-hmm. And here's how he did it. When he requested additional scrutiny of the sources that were being used as part of Crossfire Hurricane with, what's his name? Danchenko and all that?
Yeah.
Bill Priestap said, oh, we don't want this to get out. We don't want to do extra vetting and a polygraph and whatnot. When he was told that, Joe was like, yeah, I don't want to be part of this. Like, I'm out.
Yeah.
So he was like, out?
they transfer him over to the San Francisco field office, but here's the kicker though. He's at the San Francisco field office, which is the one spearheading all the censorship. Fast forward to 2018 and beyond.
Yeah.
Cause he moves over to the San Francisco field office later. Anyway, that's another tangent.
Bottom line here is, you have Rod Rosenstein. Where's Rod Rosenstein?
He should be up here.
So the deputy attorney general.
Somewhere.
So this was the attorney general. This was the national security advisor, Susan Rice, Sally Yates, Jim Comey. You have the deputy attorney general is the one that signs off under statute in order to obtain a FISA warrant. The final signer for that is the deputy attorney general. And this would have been Rod Rosenstein.
Yeah.
A little bit about Rod. He was the U.S. attorney appointed by George Bush, Jr. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
U.S. attorney for Maryland and Baltimore. Why is that important? Of the 94 U.S. attorneys in the United States, he was the only one that remained and was a holdover until Obama.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The only one. The longest standing U.S. attorney up to that point before he was then appointed to be the deputy attorney general. Deep state much? Maybe. So does he have dirt on both sides? Maybe. But he was appointed by Bush the same year that John Roberts was appointed as the...
Yeah, I always took Rod Rosenstein as somebody that was like working more for the RNC side of this.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Which is why I always kind of...
So then, is Rod Rosenstein, who was appointed by Bush, and John Roberts, who was appointed by Bush, where is this? In 2005. One in May, the other in September.
Mm-hmm.
So Rosenstein in May of 2005, Roberts in September of 2005. Why is that important? The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court gets to appoint the FISA judges. And on a rotating basis, all 11 of them, went from 7 to 11 when they passed the Patriot Act. Thanks, Mike Pence, when you were on the Judiciary Committee to do that. And so Chief Justice John Roberts, by 2012, has, from 2012 to today, has appointed every single FISA court judge. So if you want to spy on your political opponents, he was the one that allowed judges to decide on who to spy on. And then when you manipulate the evidence, you're also defrauding a court that's already prepositioned and biased to go after the Trump Flynn component, right? All right, so back to here. Rod Rosenstein. If Bush appoints them, and Mike Pence says that his favorite vice president, look at his Wikipedia passage, is Dick Cheney. And you put two and two together. Mike Pence loves Dick Cheney and loves Liz Cheney, I'm sure, by extension.
Mm-hmm.
And Rod Rosenstein is in that cabal of people being appointed. There probably is a relationship. Like, we text each other, they probably do the same. And they were probably like, yep, go ahead and spy on the Trump campaign because we need leverage over them, but we don't have any.
Do you think they use Twitter DMs?
They may have. Maybe. So Elon Musk, if you're listening in, please release the DMs of every single person on this wall.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone. What will that show us? I suspect that there be some communications coordinations. Yeah. So anyway, 2017 rolls around. They send two people to get Flynn fired or to get him to lie. The RNC folks and the DNC folks, as I just listed, basically, I am almost 100% sure that they were working either separately or concurrently to make sure that they would remove General Flynn because he could basically, within the second week as the National Security Advisor, you can audit and look at
everything from the FISA process, which would have exposed the entire legal spying operation.
Yep.
And you would expose all the corruption and the fraud, waste, and abuse within our foreign policy establishment, so State Department, all the money laundering going on through that mechanism, the DOD, Department of Defense, and the entire intel community. The National Security Advisor is above all of them. And when you have a relationship, as was explained earlier, with the president, you are in a much stronger position to guarantee a cleansing of the entire apparatus than the vice president, than the director of the CIA, than the director of national intelligence, than the director of the FBI. That's why he had to get removed immediately from their perspective.
Yep.
And then the persecution started. That's where you pick up. So the Mueller team was created.
Yeah, Mueller team was created.
Last thing. So when here's my thinking on this. When Trump fired Jim Comey, because he suspected, right? Trump fires Comey, May 9th, 2017. Guess what happened? I think that's a Friday. Yeah. What happens on May 12th?
Yeah, like literally that's when Mueller. Mm-hmm. That's when Mueller was appointed.
Guess who's the authority to appoint Mueller?
Was it Rosenstein?
It was.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just talked about Rosenstein. See the dots?
Yeah.
So Rosenstein. Wait, hold up. Trump fires Comey. They're like, oh my God, we have no leverage. What's going on here? I'm thinking Pence tees up Comey to be the FBI director. There's very little reporting on this. So over the weekend, Trump needs to be asked this by someone. Did Pence approach you and ask you to consider Mueller to replace Comey? And then when you said no, Pence called Rob Rosenstein to authorize the Mueller special counsel.
Yeah.
Because I think their original plan, Pence and Rosenstein, at the behest of the Bushes and mm-hmm. Cheney's, was to go ahead and be able to continue to control things from the directorship of the FBI to cover up what just happened over here.
Yeah.
But when Trump refused Mueller to be Bush's second, because remember, he was Bush's FBI director.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's when they're like, okay, we'll create a special counsel. We'll come after you that way.
Yeah,
the timing just proves it, basically.
Yeah, within days of that. Yeah, I mean, here it is right here.
And Crossfire Hurricane rolls around.
Yeah, here it is right here.
Yeah. Yeah, so like a couple days later, Rosie appoints Robert Mueller to investigate Russia claims. And in this period of time, you see that there's a discussion of trying to tee up Robert Mueller to replace Comey. And when the refusal was there, they're like, all right, we're going to win either way. And so then it was, all right, let's go after everybody that is in a position to expose all of this. So the cover up starts to increase in egregiousness.
Yeah.
And that's what the Mueller investigation. It's all a charade, sham.
Yep.
And this is how they create leverage over your dad.
Yep.
It's because you were one of the officers of FIG, right?
Yeah.
So they were going after all the corporate officers of the Flynn Intel Group.
Yep. Yep. And then my obvious relationship with him, you know, being a son too, but that's...
Yep.
I mean, really, in March of 2017 was when... You know, when I started getting inquiries from the House Select, you know, Intel Committee, Senate Select Intel Committee, you know, these about like coming in to talk to them about, like my relationship with Russia. I'm like, what relationship? So, you know, March of 2017 was when I hired a lawyer for myself. And subsequently it was every other day, every week, you know, dealing with some type of inquiry, you know, then you get subpoenaed to appear in front of fucking grand juries. You know, it was just nonstop. And like, and every time, like, you know, you try to understand the why, but at the time everything was moving so fast. And
no one knew. Like this stuff, you know, we didn't learn until like later.
Yeah.
Digging it and digging it.
Mm-hmm.
Now to me, it was like, I look at this whole thing
as when you know General Flynn and his background, impeccable service, family, etc., it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable that our civilian leadership is going to these lengths to go after literally the only guy speaking truth to power. So, to the death, baby.
Yeah.
Bring it.
It's going to be a good documentary. Let's, I think that's probably a good place to kind of stop, because, we could talk about, even just the rest of this section, for hours, but I think that, again, from what I've been told, the documentary will be able to somewhat tell this story and actually get perspectives from people that have never been heard from before, which is important because...
Yeah, Adam?
Yeah, Adam Leminger. It's really my mom. I mean, my Uncle Jack is in it.
Wait, let me introduce Adam's side real quick.
Real quick.
So Adam Leminger, while I'm kind of like down at the lower trenches of the DIA, he's in a small office in the, it's called Office of Net Assessment. So that office in the Pentagon does like strategic assessments on threats way before, it's like the first future thinking policy arm that then is incorporated into the budgeting cycle, if you will. That's kind of like generally speaking. He smelled a rat on some of this activity from the DOD perspective. So what I laid out was what was going on at the CIA, the FBI, the National Security, the DNI, right? He had the perspective from the DOD headquarters of some of the people that were within the DOD coordinating and communicating with the scum that I laid out. And he, in the movie, lays it out pretty clear. And so what did they do to somebody exposing the truth? They weaponize against him. But he is a very, he's like one of us. So when you come after us, we're not doubling down. We're going unlimited down. So he's a pretty good dude.
Joining me right now is a returning guest and a good friend of America, Roger Stone. Roger, how are you today, my friend?
I'm very excited to be here. It's an important event. You see, the American left recycles the same bullshit over and over and over again. It doesn't matter how disproved, debunked, or delegitimized any of their fake narratives are, they'll just cycle back and try to sell you the same crap. So I think it's very important for General Flynn to get the truth about his case and what happened to him, first a documentary and ultimately in the book. So now when leftists say, oh no, General Flynn, you told the Russian ambassador that you removed sanctions, no, I never said anything to kind. Look at my documentary.
Excellent, excellent. So Roger, you're known as a bit of a kingmaker in Washington DC. I'm certain that you have an opinion. Where do you think that General Flynn should go in the new Trump administration?
Well, there's so many places he could go. He'd be a great CIA director. He'd be a great national security advisor. I've said this in many, many speeches. He'll tell you this. I believe that General Michael Flynn's greatest public service lies ahead.
Absolutely. Well, tell me, Roger, what do you have going on right now?
Well, I do a daily show every day at Stone Zone on Rumble. It's rumble.com/Roger Stone. Also, you can go to stonezone.com, pick it up there. On the weekends, I do a radio show at 77 WABC in New York. that you can hear by going to WABCRadio.com. That's from 4 to 6 Eastern every Sunday. It's a lot of work.
All right. Thank you so much, Roger. Glad to see you.
Great to be back with you.
We'll see you. Okay, so I am standing here with William. William, where did you drive from?
10 minutes away. I live here in Venice, Florida.
Oh, right on. Okay, so tell me, this is the first time I've ever been to Venice. It seems quaint. It seems quiet. It seems safe. There are obviously some places that you go and you get an immediate feeling of economic distress, but it doesn't seem like that here. This seems like a thriving area.
You know, I was originally down in South Florida. In 2017, I got a job offer down there, so I was working at the U.S. Southcom down there, and I had my daughter with me, and I was coming back down to South Florida from somewhere, I forget where, and I said, we're going to be coming down the west side of the state, what beach do we stop at? And he said, stop at Venice Beach, and I did, and we spent about 4 hours here. I kind of looked around, I got the same impression you did, Zach.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, I could live here. So I knew that I was going to be moving out of South Florida. I'm originally from Maryland. I was born in D.C. and born and raised in Maryland. And so I sold that house, and then I thought I was going to be living in South Carolina, and I sold that house. And then I just moved down here and put on a new roof and cement pad glass, and that came in handy there in the end.
Right on, right on. So I take it you like Florida in general?
I love it. You know, it's what's not to like about it.
I'm with you.
Well, it's this part of Florida that I'm really in love with. South Florida was a little bit too busy, too much city type life. I like my space, and you got plenty of space here. The house of ball was built like 50 years ago where your neighbors aren't right next to you and stuff.
Yep.
You know, you got a little bit of land, and it's nice. I like it. The people down here are really nice, and I like the fact that it's not as constraining as Maryland was.
So. Sure. Yeah. And, a lot more freedom.
Yeah. I was looking for some place that would be more of a better fit for me, and this is it. And I got a postcard in my mailbox, really, initially, and it said, hey, join our online next door.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. So I found out that it wasn't quite my cup of tea, but I did see a post that said, hey, what are those crazy idiots doing up there on the intersection of 41 and Laurel Road waving flags? And I said, that's where I got
it. My people.
Yeah, so I found them, and they turned me on to the Republican clubs here and the executive committee, and I've become involved, and I'm campaign manager for Thomas Babbage.
He's running for Sarasota County School Board.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we're looking to make Sarasota County schools normal again.
Okay.
I attend the meetings. Usually I speak. I didn't speak at the last meeting Tuesday. It was a zoo as usual. we're going to try to change that. We are going to change it.
So when you say it's a zoo, is it a zoo because of the administration or because of the parents upset with the administration?
It's a zoo because the Harvard dropout who's stationed now in Sarasota and is getting money from somewhere. I don't know who he's getting money from, but he seems to be able to gather crowds and get people to attend these school board meetings, and it's just one insult after another, and there's nothing about, you know, trying to make the schools a better place for the kids. It's always insulting the school board members.
Yep.
And we're mad, we're not the majority, and we're gonna, you know, just keep crying about it until somebody, you know, gives a little bit, and nobody's giving. We're gonna get stronger.
Right on. I love it. All right, so are you excited to see the film?
Yes. General Flynn, yes.
Yeah.
I'm friends with actually the one of the clubs I'm in is the president of it. He lives really close to General Flynn. I met him a couple times, his sister Mary, and got his book for my daughter for Christmas, and got his first book autographed and sent to my cousin, who's a retired Army colonel in Alabama. He used to run Redstone, pretty much.
Excellent.
And so I'm a big Flynn fan, and like what he's done, man. I mean, we need more like him.
So tell me, I've been asking people, where would you like to see General Flynn in Donald Trump's next administration?
Well, That's a very good question. I've got them pretty much picked out. I've got Clay Higgins for FBI director, and I've got Cash Patel for DOJ. General Flynn, VP? He needs a loyal VP. And Flynn, you don't get much more loyal than General Flynn.
No.
I think that's a good pick.
I think so, too. That's what everybody has said so far. Personally,
yes.
I think he's the dark horse for FBI director.
He could be.
Can you imagine General Flynn coming in and gutting and completely cleaning house at the very organization that tried to destroy him? What poetic justice would that be,
Sullivan.
William?
Yes. Emmett Sullivan would be high on that list, I think, of people that needed to be retrained, I guess.
Yes, you can say that.
So I think General Flynn would agree with that. But if you listen to Clay Higgins speaking about it recently, he's a lawman.
Oh, yeah. And I like Clay.
Yeah, and I think either or, but I really like Clay.
He's honest, too.
And straight up honest.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking for, truth,
Amen.
That's where I'm getting down here, and that's why I love it.
Yeah. So sick of bureaucrats lying to us, covering up the truth, non-answers. I get so frustrated. I don't know about you, but watching Christopher Wray not answer the question or, point to some legal obfuscation, technically he's saying what he needs to get away without answering the question. It's so annoying.
Yes. And when Clay Higgins interviewed him, you saw that. It was great.
Oh, yeah.
It's Director Ray.
Yes.
Here we are again. It was just like...
So measured.
That's what kind of sold me on him as the FBI director.
Yeah.
But I was, like I said, I was born in the swamp, lived and grew up in that swamp and worked in and around it for so long.
So you were in government previously?
Government contract.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And I've seen enough fraud, waste, and abuse to last me a lifetime. And I know that we need to get somebody back in the White House who can fix that. Who could that be?
Okay. Well, one final question.
Yes, sir.
What was the one thing, if there was, that woke you up, that made you say, you know what, the system is broken and everything is totally corrupt? What was it?
I I've been awake for a while up in Maryland. I was an NPA because, it used to be red, now it's blue. Being an NPA, I knew that the two-party system just wasn't working right.
Yeah.
And so I've been awake for a while, but I'll tell you what really, really got my attention is when they stopped counting during the election.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, nah, something, nah, they don't do that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take a week, Because I'm kind of old.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So, I'm old enough to remember when they could count votes in a single night.
Yeah, I was watching, the Knicks and Humphrey, and it was like by 2 o'clock, you had to stay up late to see the results, but you knew by sunrise the next day.
Yep.
And that's where we got to get back to, Zach.
I remember back in 2000, when I was living in California at the time. I went to bed, and they had already declared Al Gore the winner. And then I woke up in the morning, and I get the paper, and I'm like, what, George W. Bush is the winner? What the hell's going on? I was like, something is fishy. Not that there was a good choice between the two of them.
We definitely didn't want to eat Al Gore.
No.
No, for sure. But that got my attention as well.
Yeah.
And, things are gonna change.
Absolutely.
This is our year.
They have to.
They're gonna.
Yes.
Yeah, when I cut the cable, I had to go dig and I had to go through everybody.
Yep.
And I had to narrow that down because it's to save time.
Sure.
But I've had to limit that but I make sure that I catch you
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. You put out some good stuff. And the alternative media is where more people need to be, and I don't understand how they stay in business. Well, I do understand.
They're funded by.
They keep throwing money at it. Keep lying, lie more.
It's a narrative war. They don't care how much
money they
lose as long as they have the platform.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But we're going to do something about that.
We will. We will.
Yes, sir.
Trump 2024. Let's go.
You got
Trump
it.
Flynn 2024. All right, William. Thank you so much, brother.
Thanks, Zach.
Yep,
appreciate
we'll
it.
Ryan.
What's up? How you doing, man? Good to see you. Oh, thank you.
All right, so introduce yourself to the audience.
Hi, I'm Nydia Law, all the way from Naples.
Nydia from Naples. Nydia, thank you so much for being here. How far away is Naples? I'm not certain about the geography.
An hour and 45 minutes.
Hour and 45 minutes? Mm-hmm. Okay, great. I had about 3 hours to drive here, and I got here at 1:30 last night. Did you come in today or last night?
Oh, today. We just drove. I worked for a little bit, then drove right on over.
All right. And what were you telling me before this, your experience about how you woke up?
I woke up because COVID locked us out. So I watched the news for the first time and realized that things didn't make sense. And that's when I basically started learning independent journalists, following you guys online, yeah, and figuring out that, you know, we had to connect dots and scratch the surface because our government, it just wasn't telling us the truth. Not the news and not our government.
No, not at all. Not at all. And what do you do for a living?
I'm a hairstylist.
Hairstylist? Okay, so you must have gotten hit hard, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shut down for 2 months was really difficult. No income whatsoever. And what was worse was coming back from COVID and then getting a lot of clients leaving me because I wouldn't take the COVID shot. So
your clients left because you wouldn't take a medically unnecessary treatment?
Yes, sir.
What business is it of anybody else what you're doing with your body?
I'm honest. Only because I'm honest and I started learning from you guys.
Yep.
And then I have a doctor friend who did a lot of research on mRNA. So I decided, you know what? I was going to wait for the facts and the research to come out.
Good for you.
And nothing panned out.
No.
So I stayed, you know, my course and didn't take it and was left, I mean, treated to the point that I had a client bringing fruits for my donkey and she had like 2 KM95 stood at the edge of the door and threw them at me because she didn't want to breathe the air I was breathing. I was like, okay.
That is so disconnected from reality, but yeah.
Absolutely.
That's the world we live in. So let me ask you this. Have any of your clients come back in the wake of getting the jab to say?
Tell you the story. The one that left me first, she was gone for 2 years, came back and got cancer.
Oh wow, that's awful.
And even though she didn't say she was sorry, she didn't say she was sorry, she came back, I took her back and was trying to like guide her into not taking any more, but it's really hard. The brainwashing is intense.
Yeah.
So a lot of my clients have had, the ones that took the shot have had a lot of side effects. So I was very happy that I listened to my gut and my, you know, my friend and decided not to take it.
Yeah, I'm really glad you did too. So tell me, are you excited to see the film tonight?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Oh yes,
yeah.
Very excited, very, very excited. It's amazing, his journey and what he's done for our country and hopefully having a part in our future government.
Absolutely. So yes, I've been asking people, where would you like to see General Flynn in the second Trump administration?
Vice president.
Yep, me too, yep. I feel like that's the number one answer. A lot of people think that,
I've been pushing that at work too with everyone. Yes, vice president.
Good stuff.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. All right, well, do you want to tell everybody where they can find your business, or do you want to tell anybody anything how they can find you online?
Well, the name of my business is Color by Nydia. It's in Naples, Florida, and basically online it's Colorist68 on Instagram, and I don't use my Facebook a whole lot.
So okay.
Thank you.
All right. Awesome. Thank you for being here, and thank you for coming.
Thank you so much, Zach.
All right. We'll see you.
All righty.
Where's the regular? They said to go over there, and then they said all the VIP lines here. I guess.
All right, so here we are with the man, CanCon. What's going on, buddy? How far did you have to come?
I am about 2 hours and 45 minutes from Fort Lauderdale, so about 190 miles.
Yeah. Okay, right on. Yeah, it was about a 3-hour trip for me. I don't know how long it was. When I actually mapped it the first time, it only said it was 2 hours, and then when I looked it up later, it sent me on a much longer route, and it was like 4 hours, but I figured out I could do it in 3. So anyways, so how was the trip? Was it,
going across the alley used to be fun and now it's just straight traffic. It's under construction.
Yeah.
I was actually supposed to come over with my dad and, I made the mistake of not mapping the route out before I left and we thought it was an hour and a half, turned out to be closer to 3 hours.
Oh yeah.
So he had to rush and he wasn't able to make it. So now I'm here stag hanging out with my boy Zach. Excited to see this movie, though. Definitely.
I am too.
Yeah, we've been promoting it for a couple months now, so very excited to finally get to see it.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I've often thought about, and I'm sure that you can relate to this, you know, as supporters of General Flynn, for years, it was like, you know, we're watching what's happening to him. You know, he's unable to say anything because he's embroiled in these court battles. And I just always would think to myself, I cannot wait until the day that he can actually talk about what's happened to him.
Yep.
And more importantly, when he can go for the necks of those who did.
Amen to that. I am 100% behind that. You know, you don't have a position like he did as a, you know, the director of defense intelligence. You know, you don't have that high of a position and not know where the bodies are.
Absolutely.
You know, proverbially speaking, of course, but yeah. He knows. And so I'm definitely looking forward to what General Flynn is able to do in a 47th administration here coming up, hopefully in 2025.
Amen.
And, I'm excited.
All right. So I asked General Flynn the other day and he played a little bit coy, but I had wanted to know what he thought. What position would he be of most use to President Trump in this 2.0 administration? So I want to know from you, as a military man, where do you think Flynn could be of best use in this new admin?
Well, obviously, Secretary of Defense is obviously a given because, you know, of his military career. ODNI, Office of Director of National Intelligence, even though I think that office needs to be abolished.
Right.
You know, we need to segregate our intelligence agencies like they were before the Patriot Act.
Yep.
So that's another one. But unfortunately, to tell you the truth, the only position that I see that he might be able to get is vice president, because it's the only cabinet position that doesn't require a vote of Congress.
Yep.
And if Congress doesn't go our way in 2024, Flynn is like persona non grata with the Democrats and with the establishment Republicans.
Right.
So I think vice president, to be honest with you, might be one of the only positions that is a shoe-in for General Flynn.
Yeah, I've often thought that vice VP would be great for him because, you know, I mean, generally speaking, vice presidents just need to be able to show up and stand on a tarmac, right? All they got to do is be there in lieu of the president when the president can't be there. But we saw, you know, what happened in the last administration, whether or not you believe that Mike Pence is a good guy. You know, I would rather have somebody who could uphold the mandate, you know, 100%, be loyal, do what needs to be done, and maybe make the hard decisions and the difficult choices that the president doesn't necessarily need falling on his shoulders. You know, look to somebody like General Flynn. Oh, you know, I just have my vice president take care of it.
Yep, absolutely. Cry havoc and let loose the dogs of war, you know?
Amen.
Let him slip and let him get in there and do what he's got to do.
Good stuff, good stuff. All right, well, tell everybody where they can find you, Brian.
All right, rumble.com/CanCon, Badlands Media, every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. on Badlands Daily, and also at the Gateway Pundit.
Well, that Gateway Pundit show, that's also now also broadcasting on Jake Lang's
Blessed.News.
Blessed.News.
Blessed.News. Yes. It's on Rumble as well, and it's also on Gateway Pundit. It's every Wednesday at 8 p.m. It's called Inside J6, where we sit down with a J6er and do an exclusive interview with them. Last week we did Coy Griffin, and this week we just had our guests had to reschedule, but I think the following week we're going to get Brandon Straka, so we're going to have some good J6ers to hash out what they've gone through.
Good show. And, of course, there are thousands of potential guests, so no shortage of
people. Yeah. Unfortunately.
All right. Well, thank you again for being here, Brian. I look forward to seeing this film with you.
Absolutely. God bless.
God bless you, brother.
That General Flynn's the biggest traitor known to man, right? And I'm like part of that, right? So how do we change it? We have to take over. Ivan Raiklin. I'm known as the deep state marauder. Yes, I pillage these scum. In person. I don't poke the bear. I take my ice pick. Okay? So, 2024 rolls around. Here's what I expect them to do. And I'll tell you what we can do to counter it. I expect them to next week, as early as next week, Mike Johnson is no longer going to be the Speaker of the House for one of two reasons. Marjorie Taylor Greene is being co-influenced by Kevin McCarthy to vacate Mike Johnson. Because of the Ukraine money. So that when Mike Johnson's taken out, Jeffries is voted in, and then they expel Marjorie Taylor Greene from Congress. So they get a twofer for that. or one more China first or Ukraine first Republican is bribed into retiring early, thus giving the gavel to Hakeem Jeffries. The very same day that happens, Jamie Raskin files a resolution labeling January 6th as an insurrection and President Trump as an insurrectionist, thus not allowing him to run for president. That's what they're going to do. What's the response? What's the chess move response you're asking me?
Yes.
Oh.
That's exactly what I'm asking.
That's where I come into play. So, every single person that's going to be at the RNC convention as a delegate that's listening in or that you know must understand the following. The legislatures in our country currently have Republican majorities in states that have the authority to grant 306 electoral votes for president and vice president going into the next election.
Okay.
They can today pre-allocate those presidential and vice presidential electors from those states for the president and vice president of their choice. Republican, vote for Republican, right? I need us to understand this to create the ice pick pressure, acupuncture style, on each state rep in these states to go ahead and do that. So that Jamie Raskin's little bill that's going to pass the House, that's going to pass the Senate, that's going to be signed by the Chinese Communist Party resident in the White House, so that there's a confrontation, constitutional confrontation, where the Congress says Trump is not eligible, the state legislatures are saying, you know what? What's that in poker? We raise you, I call your Trump as president in the form of our electors, and I raise you a Mike Flynn as vice president. What do you think he's going to do to these people as vice president? I can't hear you. Take him down, right?
Retribution.
I call it castrate the deep state. They want to talk about castrating our kids? We're going to castrate them. And then we will crush the commies. I offer myself as a sacrificial first-time secretary of retribution. So, what does that mean? Three divisions in that Department of Retribution. You have the research arm, which will consist of all January 6th defendants and their families and attorneys, which will create our extended deep state target list. And then you have the action arm that will conduct live stream raids and swattings of every single one of these folks. How? Who's going to do that? Every single military service member or those that were kicked out because they refused to comply with the unlawful jab mandate that have experience in the decades to do raids overseas, I will hire them to do raids now. And guess who's going to, in the interest of transparency, unlike the FBI's raids that are behind closed door and they put camera, you know, tape cameras? No. My department is going to bring in Zach Payne and CanCon and Red Pill 78 and say, hey guys, we need to live stream on your platforms the following raid and swatting of Andrew McCabe, Judge Sullivan, Peter Strzok, Sally H., Jim Comey, Susan Rice, Jim Clapper, John Brennan, the other 51 that said the Biden laptop had all the earmarks of a Russian info campaign, the rest of the 39 that unmasked General Flynn, to include Jamie Raskin's wife. See how that goes? Boomerang. I'm going to keep it rated G. Let's leave it at boomerang. Blank, blank. And everybody here. And I have an extended deep state target list. But again, the Department of Retribution is going to create an even longer list. So we must secure courage with the legislatures in our country to go ahead and pre-allocate their electoral votes now so that there is not an electoral heist by the machines, and there's not an electoral heist by Congress through that resolution when the gavel is given over to Jamie Raskin. Because guess what? The Supreme Court 9-0 decision that said the states cannot block somebody from appearing on the ballot, we're going to use that against them and say, guess what? The states are directing Congress on who they're going to have as president and vice president. So Jamie Raskin's little resolution, even if it passes, I don't think it passes constitutional muster at the Supreme Court, even though John Roberts is a Bush-Cheney lackey. Because by that time, the country is going to ice pick, let's just say the political conversation sufficiently to make sure that the Supreme Court decides in the favor of the states. So I'm only a constitutional lawyer and a retired Lieutenant Colonel Green Beret and former intel officer. They used to teach intelligence analysis at the Defense Intelligence Agency. Those are just my thoughts.
Around 850 people. It was unbelievable. Totally sold out. What blew me away was the number of just everybody standing ovation at the end. It was just ridiculous. I mean, I just did not expect it at all. I really did not expect the emotion, or the outpouring of love. I mean, it was just unbelievable. So very, very happy with the premier experience that we had tonight. We can't wait to get on the road here tomorrow. We're heading up to God, I don't even know where. I mean, I know we're going to
Winter Haven.
We're heading up to Winter Haven, Florida, which is up around the Orlando area, and then we go into Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee, and then we're going to points west, and we're just looking forward to it. The DVDs are now out. You can go to flynnmovie.com. You can order a DVD. We'll have the live stream up here in another little bit, and go check out our tour where we'll be. This was number one. We got 34 more cities to go in the next 2 months. So God bless everybody. Thank you very much.
All I was saying was that is the end of the documentary. I'm going to go through all of the donations once more because I don't want anybody to think that I didn't see it. I want you to know that I am perpetually and eternally grateful. Let me go ahead and pull up this window, and it's not going to be a display capture. It's going to be a window capture, and it's going to be the rants. Okay. So I just want you to know when, okay. So actually, first of all, let me just show you what I see on screen, because I've got one monitor here where I'm doing notes and stuff. And then I've got the other monitor where I'm playing video. And then I've got another monitor where all of the chats are and everything. So let me show you what that looks like. I'm going to have to show you a screenshot. So let me just show you this screenshot here. because I don't think anybody really appreciates how much I'm actually looking at when I'm doing this show. So this is a 27-inch monitor that's turned vertically so that I can get all of this stuff on it. Okay, so you can see right here, I've got all these chats, I've got all these various windows, and look, I've got, these are the rants right here, and so if more than four are on screen, then the last one gets pushed off, and it's still there, but I just gotta go looking for it. And then these are all of the pilled donations, and then I have the window for the Rumble stream so that I can verify that it's working. And this is just, it's a lot of stuff to look at, and I'm trying to track all of the chats as they're going by too, and it's impossible to do all of them, but I do what I can. So let me go ahead and pull, ooh, that's not what I wanted. I wanted this one. Okay, and I need to go back to the very beginning. So, C. Ziegra says, love you and watched you since the early Q days. Thank you for all you do, and also on Badlands Media. Thank you to Hot Rodley, who said much love. Thank you to Snowcat Operator, who said that he just ordered the DVD, hoping to make the Indiana premiere. Thank you for joining us. American Patriot 1776 says, thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything you've done for our country, General Flynn. I stand shoulder to shoulder with you, sir. God bless you. Thank you to Jim Kyle, who says, should three-letter agencies have a complete overhaul? Thank you to Gum Gum, who says, they want us in a double bind, cancel FISA. They attack us with terrorists. If they keep FISA, they covertly sabotage us for the next several years. Number one Indiana dad, who let us know that the House did, in fact, pass FISA, which is pretty upsetting. Thank you to D-Tech, who said, nothing can stop what is coming. Where we go one, we go all. God bless you, Zach and General Flynn. Thank you to Trisha, says, I teared up over General Flynn calling you back. It says what we all know about you, Zach. You are the journalist to watch for the truth. Your hard work has paid off. I can't wait to see your viewership go up. It's been an honor to watch you grow in your career. So happy to be able to support you. Love and respect you so much. Thank you very much, Trisha. Thank you very, very much. Dave 75 says, what was the extras you mentioned for early DVD pre-orders? Pre-ordered mine last week. So it's going to be like an extra hour of footage that isn't in the original movie itself. There are extra interviews. There's extra footage of like General Flynn and his family hanging out and perhaps even interviewing people who weren't in the film at all, that they just didn't make the cut because they had to make it of a certain length. Thank you to Leanne 63, who said, this is great, Zach. Thank you to LKW Cross, who I know you are a loyal supporter of the show, and I don't want you to think that I would ignore you, because that would just be the most ridiculous thing in the world. Your name has been out there in that chat for the longest time. She says, this is great, or they say this is great. The real JJ14 says, can I look past the Alex Jones spot now? Very impressive work, Ivan. Oh, I guess you can look past it. Okay. Counterinsurgent says, amazing Red Pill 78 news. Number one Indiana dad says, I can see Zach holding a press conference at the White House, and Muffin Gate breaks out. Let's go, Muffin. So I was saying in the chat earlier that I would absolutely love to be the press secretary. I would have so much fun with the mainstream media trolling them, and I would definitely have like podcasters and citizen journalists inside the White House press corps, and I would go and ask I would take questions from them first before anybody else. The real JJ also said, great fucking work, my friend. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you to 2F17 Two Feathers, says, absolutely magnificent, Zach. Warrior Mima says, I wish I could give you more. You deserve it. Thank you so much. Breeze 11 says, I'm loving this, Zach. Thank you for all you do. And then Horses for Sheila says, you're doing a great job. Thank you very much, Horses for Sheila. I appreciate it. All right, now let me get the pilled rants, or the pilled pills, the gold pills. Which one is it? It's not that one. It is, I think it's this one. Yep, that's it. Okay. All right. So for some reason, my camera keeps going out of focus. Let's see. Heading back to the beginning here. Let me say thank you to Sean Joe twice. Thank you to Esther G for the can. Thank you to Ryder for the cookie. Thank you to D Dallid for the shades. Thank you to J2 Dank for the shades and InfoWars, InfoBear, thank you for the can. Empress, thank you for the cookie. Sean Joe, thanks for the can. Anandoc, thank you for the cookie and the cookie. And then InfoBear also said your free speech was not free. We read that one. Thank you. You're correct. Omazon says, thank you, General. Sean Joe said, can you ask Flynn about the black sky comment? I took a note on that and I will ask him that next week. 123SKG, thank you for the cookie. Sean Joe, thank you for the can. Mighty Patriot, thank you for the phone. Sean Joe, thank you as well. Thirst for Knowledge, tell the general you enjoyed meeting him. I definitely took that note as well. D. Dallid, thank you. Thank you to Filter Dog, said cool General Flynn. Judy the Lady Pug dropped a cookie. Trump Red Pill said ask Flynn when the last time he surfed was. I took a note on that one, and I will. Thank you to Ginger45 for the shades. Empress says, I watched the Trump-Johnson presser. It was no big deal. I'm still going to go ahead and watch it tonight. Filter Dog said, love to see you stoked by a good interview. I was definitely stoked. I thought it went great. Thank you, J2 Dank and Sean Joe for the cookies. Thank you, Tomcat, for the cookie. Thank you to Dixie for the can. Filter Dog 1 said, fabulous job on this, Zach. Porpoiseful, thank you for the cookie. J2 Dank, thank you. Vector said, Zach, you are the best, brother. You literally made it to the top, mate, and we couldn't be prouder. Awesome. Thank you. Really, really appreciate it, brother. Mountain Lace, thanks for the cookie. J2 Dank, thank you as well. Average Joe Patriot said, awesome stuff, RP. Make sure you're following Average Joe and all of the other streamers over here on Pilled. Thank you to Filter Dog, says we need to get over 10K. Average Joe also dropped a cookie. Info Bear dropped a cookie. Filter Dog 1, thank you. Sean Joe, thank you. Filter Dog, thank you. Woke and Walked says, great information, Zach. You are top tier among our digital soldiers. God bless. God bless you as well, my friend. Thank you to Sean Joe and Brewbark, who said, great job, Zach. Thank you to Filter Dog and Average Joe Patriot and Porpoiseful and Teepee, who says, can't wait to see the movie. Your show is great. I'm glad you like it. Thank you to Sean Joe and Raisin Kane. Thank you to Porpoiseful, who said, great job, Zach. I'm so pleased with your work. Blessings. Thank you to 123SKG, who says, great work, Zach. Thank you to Filter Dog, who says, you rock. Judy the Lady Pug, 3 stars. Zeta Anon says, you do such a good job, RP. Raisin Kane says, is Ivan taking volunteers? I believe he is taking volunteers. You can reach out to him through X. Tennessee Jed 78 dropped a ship. Thank you, bro. He says, good job, RP. And then Matt 1776 says, this is exciting. It's exciting for me to be here as well. Is it smoky in here, honey? Did you light some incense or something? Because it smells like it's smoky, and it actually looks kind of smoky on my camera. I think maybe my lens might be overheating because it's been going for so long. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out. I'll be back here live again at 9 p.m. Eastern with Warren Smith. He's available at on Twitter as Secret – actually, I think his Twitter name is like WTSmith17 or something like that. It's going to be in the description. I've already put the stream out. I also put a video describing why you can't watch the stream until a certain time. It's now going to go before every single show. So if you guys have to watch that video over and over again, please don't get mad at me. I'm doing it because too many people just can't find the time that the stream is live on screen. But either way, good luck. God bless. I will see you in an hour and 20 minutes. Peace.